InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
Well, just a month ago, over a three-day period, there was a ICE facility attacked up by Dallas, and then another one down on the southern border with Mexico, with Texas. And, of course, it was Antifa, Trantifa. In both cases, Antifa, with a large portion of them being people that look like Martians, actually. They call themselves women, but, you know, green hair, big black circles around their eyes, buck teeth, slobber, boogers hanging out of their nose. I mean, that's who these people are. You go out to any Democrat event, it's a large portion of them look like they've escaped a mental institution. Because we don't have mental institutions anymore, really, so there's just open air. And the Democrat Party is, and blue cities are basically open air, one part pedophile bases, another part Satanism bases, another part trans cult bases, with a smattering of piles of feces, needles everywhere, and burning buildings. But, of course, this individual shooting from the roof was so stupid that they missed the ICE officials that were out there and shot two of the illegal aliens, which I wish they wouldn't have done. I'm sad for them. But that's the level of moron behavior. I mean, just these people, you have to get around them. They're so stupid. A lot of them can't talk. You try to go talk to, you've seen the videos we shoot at these leftist events. Some of them go, rah, 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 and you're just like, and then you see like they're teaching in public schools and twerking in front of the little kids. And it's all just totally insane. But Netanyahu is behind this attack in Dallas. In fact, if you don't say Israel did it and that all roads lead to Israel, you work for Netanyahu. So I want to get it out straight ahead. Benjamin Netanyahu himself shot from the roof in Dallas and killed those two people and then killed himself. So just to be clear, Israel did it. Of course, I'm being sarcastic, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there are anomalies, and we have a very interesting ballistics expert and joining us coming up for part of the second hour to look at this magic 30-odd-6 bullet that goes into the neck but doesn't go out the back and goes and runs down to the body. Now, because of the angle, I've talked to a lot of shooters and experts, and they say that happens. It's not super common, but it does happen. And I've experienced similar things where you shoot a hog straight on, it goes in 2 feet and turns and bounces halfway back up, goes out the side, or never comes out. So it can happen, and you see how he clenches his fist and just instantly dead, basically. Could be true, but it's, you know, it's important to keep analyzing and looking at the different angles that are there because obviously it's so common to be lied to and so common to have deep state dirty tricks going on that you need to investigate. Not in all cases is stuff staged, but a lot of times it is, so we'll be looking into that some more. But, again, the attack on this ICE detainment facility in Dallas, that's three attacks in Texas in about the last 4 weeks. And they barely get any attention because this leftist doing it, and they've now released the cartridges and, you know, other things. They say they have more they haven't released yet. But that this is a Antifa, you know, anti-ICE stuff with these messages scrawled on things like they do. And you continue to see this. Two detainees killed in shooting at Dallas ICE facility, NBC. Three dead, including the shooter. And the FBI has released the photo of the anti-ICE scribblings on the bullets. And a lot more coming up. Sniper attack at Dallas ICE facility leaves three... now three dead. So the point is another leftist terror attack. But of course, you know, it's Netanyahu. All right, a photo of the purported leftist sniper shooting up an ICE facility and multiple dead, others wounded, has come out. But we're going to wait till it's completely verified everywhere else, because if we show it, even if it's on mainstream news and then it's not right, we'll get the blame. So we're gonna hold, but he looks like a Antifa lobotomized individual, if that is him. And you're going to see more of this. And these leftists are so stupid. Remember, they shot up a couple ICE facilities, or shot up one, and then were planning to shoot up another with fires and diversions. And in the one case where they shot it up, they just sprayed the building. Well, the precious migrants are there being abused, and it's terrible and horrible, and you're there like Superman or Batman to save them. Why would you just spray bullets into the windows of a building, dumbass? I mean, these people are just beyond stupid. And so if this is a leftist terrorist, which it 100% looks like to me, par for the course, we have to ask, why would they just spray into the yard, you know, over the fence from a roof, reportedly hit close to some ICE officers, so they were probably the target, but that's how stupid these leftists are. Most of them cannot hit the side of a barn door at 10 yards away. But, boy, the shooter knew what they were doing up in Utah, but 200 yards shooting Charlie Kirk's neck is an average shot. I mean, I'm not, again, trying to act like I'm Annie Oakley here or anything, but or Wild Bill Hickok, but I could, when I get into shooting with a rifle, I can shoot the same hole 100 yards over and over again. Same hole, same hole, same hole, same hole. 200 yards, ragged hole. 300 yards, bullseye. 400 yards, 2-inch groupings. 600 yards, 5-6-inch groupings. 1,000 yards, 10-inch groupings. And that's when I'm not shooting good. So, and a lot of people can shoot like that. I mean, I go out with my daughters and hardly ever have time to shoot, and they shoot as good as I do with the 338 Lapua, 300 Win Mag, 308, you name it. I mean, we put up steel targets that are 5 inches across at 300 yards, and they're just bing, 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 bing. You're like, that tears that up with that caliber. Yeah, not really. I was kind of flapper on it. But I digress. We will be watching that as it unfolds. Then we have the big enchilada, obviously, and that is Trump doing an abrupt 180, pulling a 180 yesterday after this spectacular taking on the Democrat death cult at Charlie Kirk's Memorial, the incredibly historic press conference on the causes of autism, the Tylenol poison shot binary combo that I predicted and told you is what they'd announced because it's true. To simplify it, it erases your blood-brain barrier, Tylenol, and boys have half the blood-brain barrier of a girl. So again, you erase that, then toxins, you name it, just get into the brain, the rest of the body, and you are fried. And the left came out and said, no, I'm giving my kids Tylenol. Give pregnant women, literally. And Tylenol came out and said, actually, we've said for 40 years, don't give it to pregnant women. And you really should never give it to children. I mean, it works really well because it's poisonous as hell. Your body thinks it's dying and just shuts off. So that's what's happening. And now Tylenol's come out and said, yeah, 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 pregnant women, don't take it. Ooh, maybe children shouldn't. Oh, really? So it's not just in utero. Then you're giving babies that have fevers. I mean, I dealt with it. With family, I'll leave it at that. My first wife, kid had a half a degree fever. You know, we need to give him medicine. I'm like, fevers are good. It's why you have them, so that the viruses and bacteria can't replicate in a higher temperature. That's the body's defense. So let's let it get up to 103 before we, you know, start doing this and that. And I said, no, no Tylenol. And had some arguments about that. But this, I mean, my dad is a physician. And I grew up with him saying Tylenol is poisonous. It's been known forever, ladies and gentlemen. But the point is, some then said it was a cover-up of the vaccines causing it. They mentioned Tylenol. No, they said, and then the vaccines take it way over the top. Because, again, you're having an autoimmune response. It's got all these toxins, mercury in it, all the rest of it. And then you've basically dissolved the blood-brain barrier, and it just goes right in. So that's the reality there, but sorry, I'm digressing. I was getting caught up in the great things Trump did. So the great memorial, huge revival, booing America's spirit, exactly what Charlie would want, giving him the exact send-off he wanted. I mean, that was a Charlie Kirk production. And then he goes to the UN, Trump, yesterday, and just destroys them on the carbon taxes, the New World Order, that they are flooding their countries, they're running replacement migration, they're invading, they're supposed to stop invasions, not run them, that they're the problem, that their culture wars are evil, that we should be proud of the West, that the West is the best, is going to save the world, but we got to save the West first. And it went on and on. It was gold. I mean, it was platinum. It was diamond. I was ecstatic. And the last hour of the show, the crew walks in and gives me videos of Trump and posts on Truth Social. And I felt like I'd been hit in the stomach and in the nose at the same time. And I know why Trump does it. It's art of the deal stuff. But you can't do it at this level of war. And the Russians aren't listening. They had their red line, no NATO expansion. They're going to keep those areas in the east that were always part of Russia until recently. They're going to keep Crimea in the south. And I want it to stop and I want it to end. It's out of control. Europe's gearing up for total war, conscription, you name it, including women. It's already started. And they're going to do other false flags trying to suck us in. So we need to end this thing. And because Trump can't really fully stop NATO, even though he's cut some funding, Russia has taken a bunch of cities and a bunch of towns. They could take the whole country if they wanted to right now and then really see if Europe wants to call that bluff, which I don't think is a bluff. So Trump comes out and says, well, I can read you the statements. You saw it. And we'll get to it and we'll read it and we'll play it. But it went from bad to worse. He was basically giving Zelensky a hand job on national television, glazing him. And just how wonderful he is and what a great leader he is and why I think he'll be able to take back all of the country. And Russia's in deep trouble and about to fall apart. That's EU propaganda that Russia's going to domestically collapse and that Europe's going to break them in five pieces. That's the plan. And if you actually study the war, Russia has won. They got 700,000 troops in the field, including 100,000 North Koreans. They're gearing up. They're outproducing weapons against the West 3-1. Russia does have some economic problems, but nothing compared to Europe or China. And we're on the verge of big problems. If Trump's recovery plan isn't able to be executed, which is an excellent plan, and he's got a lot of it done, and the Federal Reserve is finally rolling over, but is it a day late, a dollar short? But still, Trump is absolutely encouraging the EU and NATO to expand and to fight Russia. Now, maybe he thinks, I know how Trump's brain works. He's like saying, we're not going to do it, but you go ahead and we'll sell you the weapons. Now, you go ahead and go have your war. And he's saying to the Russians, you go ahead and have your war now, thinking maybe there's some reverse psychology that now that he pushes it onto Europe, that'll get their populations that are already 80%+ against it. That'll be 99% against it. If you like living. You know, like bare minimum going bankrupt from the cost of the war and the police state that comes with it. I mean, Europe's business plan, the unelected EU Commission, is war. They've said it. 20 to 30 year war. It's totally insane. So I know what Trump does. When everything's in a stalemate, he's not getting what he wants, he shakes it up. And then in a week, he'll be saying nice things about Russia. But the truth is, Russia has won so far decisively. Europe is falling apart. And Europe is working against the U.S. as well. And I think we should just pull out of NATO. And then this thing would end real quick. And then Zelensky would flee the country. They could have elections. Russia could have its little demilitarized zone. And then that's the end of it. And then NATO stops expanding. And we can stop this march towards total war with Russia that's been the globalist plan for decades and decades. But that's not where we are right now. So I'm going to get more into that. Look, I don't talk about what's going on with InfoWars much because we've got a lot bigger fish to fry. And I know people are listening on radio stations all over the country and tuning in by the millions online and everywhere else. They want to hear about the news. But what's been done to me and my crew and my family in InfoWars is the model of tyranny out of the Democrats and what Hakeem Jeffries said 2 days ago, that when we get back in power, we're going to persecute and prosecute all Republicans. A declaration of real Soviet level or Chi-Com level or North Korea level persecution. So those of us who are at the tip of the spear get attacked. And it's come out the Justice Department ran it all and funded it illegally and had the fake bids to sell InfoWars. And they admit we don't want him to be able to stay on air. We don't want buyers to be able to get it that will keep InfoWars there. We want the name to misrepresent it, to confuse people about who he is. We want to steal his identity. This is stalking to the new level. And so the DOJ sends him a letter saying we want to meet with you, you know, preserve your materials, because William Oldenburg is the head FBI agent or counsel in Connecticut. Lawyer, he admits he went and organized the lawsuits against me. We have the DOJ documents. They funded it. We have the undercover videos of the FBI and CIA admitting they went and set this up with the FBI in Connecticut under orders from the Democrats. We have all the documents on that. Then they ran all this PR about how I'm victimizing them to play victim so they could raise hundreds of millions of dollars. It's over $300 million for their charities. And then say, I made money off them and my identity is them, when I barely even ever talked about it and covered the internet not believing it happened. And then we ask him on the stand during the show trials, the limited questions we had, did Alex ever talk about you? No. His crew? No. Well, who did something? Who came to your house? I don't know. I never saw him. Well, who told you? I don't know. I mean, anybody ever call you? No. Did you ever get threats? No. It was just made up. I said one of the people's name once. People are playing a video at like 30 million views. And people said, this looks like an actor because he's sitting there laughing and sees the cameras where it's crying. And I said, yeah, it looks fake to me, but I don't know. That's what I did? And then years of PR and ads, he's attacking us, give us money. And it just goes into this black hole. And then they come in to the bankruptcy and try to block it and try to block ever getting funds off the sale. And then say, he won't pay us money. He's hiding money. And then they're in the quotes now, ABC News everywhere. He's harassing the families again. His one last gasp. But soon we'll have him shut down, which is what you want. You want to shut the thing down that can pay you money. Plus, it's on appeal. We're going to win at the Texas Supreme Court. The lower court's already signaled. Hands down, wrong, illegal what they did, and it's at the U.S. Supreme Court. But the point is, it's still an appeal. They, and by law, we're supposed to stay open during that. But Trump, goon, threatened Sandy Hook hero pursuing Alex Jones. Sandy Hook hero? William Oldenburg showed up without an FBI insignia at the scene with his rifle slung wrong. I didn't ever know people covered him. I never even knew it was just some thing online. And then years later, he goes and organizes the lawsuits, cries on the stand, and now I'm harassing a hero that won a $130 million judgment on me. But I've never made $130 million in my life myself. Far from it. It's just crazy. You know, the law in Connecticut says you got to say somebody's name. I don't even know who the freaking guy was till he sued me. And I saw him in a mediation a few years ago in Fort Worth, federal order to courthouse, and he was back in the back. And I'm walking over and go, hello, Mr. Oldenburg. And he goes, hello, Alex. Looks down, because he knows I never did anything. I don't know who that guy is. But I'm attacking the hero. So, well, if they like this opening investigation, they're really going to like the other stuff. And I don't, because I'm not in control of this, and I'm not, you know, I don't know what Ed Martin's going to do. They told me some of the next stuff coming that they're working on. But we never thought this particular thing was the biggest thing, though. It's cut and dry in the law, what they did. The other stuff is unbelievable. Wait, because we've held some stuff back. So keep being arrogant leftists, you know, the prosecutor, Chris Matty, that's making all these statements about me. Heck, let me go ahead and just cover this now, and I'll come back with the war news and the shooting up of the ICE facility and, you know, those that are dead and the rest of it. So, overhead shot. Now, imagine, the average person still believes ABC News. I mean, most of them don't, but I'm saying the average person that still watches it probably does. So they read this, and again, there's hundreds of these articles. Top DOJ officials suggest he's investigating FBI agent who sued Alex Jones in the Sandy Hook defamation case. Well, they don't suggest it. They say we want to meet with you and talk to you. Because in the U.S. code, and they're all told us and they know this, you are not supposed to make money yourself as an agent with lawsuits or actions you create or you run. And we know that the FBI on high went to Connecticut and said, get Jones. We have the documents, the funding, all of it. So this was directed on high. And then what? When he gets his $130 million that he'll never get because it never existed, do they like take it back to the hideout or something? Like a farmhouse up on a mountain and they all divide it up or something? Like pirates, like, you know, one gold coin for you, one gold coin for you, one for you, one for you. Well, I'm the captain. I get double share. I mean, I'm speculating here. Does Oldenburg get double share of the imaginary money? But it's about the FBI and the DOJ. You saw it weaponized against Trump and everybody, literally being able to turn their agents loose to go out and create lawsuits and organize the, quote, families with the DOJ funding the rest of it, and then flood them with all the charity money that came in. So, you know what? I'm going to get to that later. I'm going to get to it later because I got some other documents I want to show you as well. But there's also some things I have in my hand that hasn't come out yet, so I need to be careful with that. But this is the thing you need to know right here, and then I'll get back to it later in more detail with some video clips. 18 U.S. Code 208, acts affecting a personal financial interest. And that's what the letter to him is about and to the law firm. That is a nest of former Democrat federal prosecutors that persecute Republicans and patriots and Christians. And then I love how these very same groups are like, how dare them censor Jimmy Kimmel? This is un-American. Well, I'm not for getting him off the air. He has no viewers anyways. But if his syndicators and the stations want to dump him, they can. That's the free market. Oh, but now he's a victim. Now he's a champion of free speech. We have hours of him celebrating, myself being censored and kicked off things, Tucker Carlson, Roseanne Barr. I mean, it's just wild. Say what you want about Bill Maher. At least he's always been consistent on the First Amendment. And that's why I respect him in that light, because he's not a hypocrite. But this is the issue right here. But if you read these headlines, you would just think, oh my goodness. And I love the quotes in here by these people. Listen, thanks to the courage of the Sandy Hook families, the Democrat Party, the DOJ, the one organized it, InfoWars will soon be finished, Maddie said. In his last gasp, Jones is once again harassing them. Only now with the corrupt complicity of at least one DOJ official. It's as disgusting as it is pathetic, and we will not stand for it. So, Ed Martin, he says, is corrupt. That's defamation right there. You didn't say that in a court filing, big man. Chris Maddie, I mean, literally looks like Eddie Munster and acts like Eddie Munster. And they have harassed me. They have stalked me. They would say, we know he's hiding hundreds of millions. He'll be going to prison. Remember all that? Audit me, my family, everybody, government audits, corporate audits, everything we said is true. Oh, turns out Jones never had major assets. New York Times. Well, yeah, you knew that. But it's, oh, he made hundreds of millions off us. No, you made hundreds of millions off me. Running ads everywhere, playing victim, and then sued me, had judges find me guilty. And then now go and block the bankruptcy system so that companies can't come buy it and pay them money to keep the operation on air. And they say in emails and on the stand and everywhere, we didn't want it to be sold to someone that would keep Jones on the air. We want to shut it down and do parodies of it and confuse the public about who he is. And yes, they said in court, the 13th Amendment applies to everyone else in America against indentured servitude and slavery. But Mr. Jones, it does not apply. He's a special case. These are quotes in their filings almost a year ago. We own his name. Elon Musk said, no, you don't own his name. So you can't have real Alex Jones and his name and all this. But if you get court rulings that you actually own InfoWars intellectual property, we'll give you the codes and you can suck everything off of there and erase it and then run around and claim to everybody else they own it. But then that's all fair use. We got big First Amendment groups that are going to sue them because this fight's for everybody, folks. But you heard him. Oh, it's his last gasp. Oh, he's going down. Oh, the desperation. Well, it is hard fought for this place, and we've been through a lot together, but it's just a name. Information war belongs to everybody. That's a generic term. The broadcast is Alex Jones and my crew and the researchers and the host. Okay? So, but it's an important fight, and what they did is wrong, and the more time goes, the more comes out, and the more information about fake auctions and sending in armed guards with no court order to shut us down. That's official oppression. That's hijacking. I mean, that's literally, just because you got a private security company and you're the U.S. trustee from the Justice Department, and even the security company calls and talks to the U.S. trustee, the last one, the judge fired that one, this new one, Chris Murray, and the head of the security company, I call him, he goes, yeah, no, I just got on the phone with this lady, she says, I'm with the DOJ, and I'm a lawyer, and I'm ordering you throw him out of the building. And the security company goes, no, there needs to be a court order or something. This guy, Alex Jones, is right. He's saying he's not going to leave. He's going to call the police. So the security guys go, okay, we'll leave. And I said, well, I think they're going to call another security company. And so I'm asleep here. They called another company the next day, tried to send them. And they called me and he said, yeah, we're not doing it. Just literal, lawless, piratical, foaming at the mouth gremlins. They just do whatever they want and raise $300 million off my name saying I'm persecuting them, $75 million from Remington, on and on and on and on and on, trying to destroy the First Amendment and then playing victim. And then I defend myself and they go, oh, he's harassing us again. Help us, oh, he's so mean.
We got Angela running around rioting and protesting everywhere. We got leftists stabbing and killing people every day, barely even hits the news. And they're always accusing us of violence. So the feds and locals are on the scene. They've identified him. Dallas ICE shooter named as Joshua John, J-A-H-N, who murdered one migrant. Now it's not two of them, survived critical condition, then killed himself. So a real rocket scientist, and again, just a month ago in South Texas, they shot up an ICE facility. And then they killed that lunatic, and then they firebombed and attacked another one and tried to shoot him when the ICE people came out. I mean, and a Border Patrol agent got killed by a Trantifa. That's Tranny Antifa. It just goes on and on. And that's why when we see these things, I'm like, yeah, it looks like a tranny or like a tranny supporter, like we saw with Kirk, because that's the group that's out there doing this. But there have been anomalies. Most of them have been disproven. But we'll be looking at some of that coming up next hour with some of the latest developments there. But here's how do you say his name? Jozon? John? How do you say that? Jan? J-O-S-H-U-A. Joshua Jan. Joshua Jan. Joshua Jan, age 29, born April 1996. Location, Fairview, Texas. And he's got a bunch of communist stuff on his profile. Laura Loomer did a background on him. He said, I did a background check on Joshua Jan, the ICE shooter in Dallas, Texas. Joshua Jan's profile picture from his now wiped Facebook page, per the background check results, reveals Antifa and communist imagery. The profile photo is of an armed communist with a hammer and sickle. The text code reads, glorious exposition comrade. He also had a previous conviction for selling marijuana. And that's exactly what a lot of the experts have been saying, is a lot of these people are smoking this really strong marijuana. It's 50 to 100 times stronger, and they are schizophrenic from it. I've had good friends that I knew for decades who became complete lunatics on the marijuana that they've got now. I mean, this stuff is just strong. And if you've already got proclivities towards that, it's dangerous. You mix it in with psychotropic drugs and stuff. I mean, And almost all these Antifa people are absolute drug addicts, massive pot users, and it's a serious situation. I mean, I didn't like pot, you know, when I was 15, was, you know, tried it out and stuff. I was like, people like to feel like this? And it was always like, try this, it's better than what you've had. And I've just literally never liked marijuana, other than marijuana Joe Rogan gets. And the stuff he gets is like $300 a joint or whatever. He likes a specific type that, you know, ups your senses and stuff, and he's the expert on it. And I guess you got the sativa and indica or whatever. And I'm like, every other time I've smoked pot, I hate it. And even when I smoke it with Joe, anytime we go to dinner, he goes, here, man, you know, take a couple of hits before we go eat this steak. And that's kind of, he relaxes later in the afternoon. It's never been a bad experience. So he ought to come out with his own line of weed, I'm telling you. But yeah, I like Joe Rogan pot. You know, he knows what he's doing. Everything else, I mean, I remember about 10 years ago, we were up here working late on, yeah, longer than that. Shoot, it was the Obama deception. So it was first when he first got in office. Whew, time flies. 15, 16 years ago. And we're up here like 2 a.m. working. And one of the crew members, he still works, he goes, you'll like this, smoke this. And I was like, okay. And I took about 3 hits off of it. And I couldn't get out of the chair for like an hour. I was laughing so hard. And we had Webster Tarpley up on the big screen. We kept playing. I was laughing. I don't know why. So I that was a good experience that time, too. Well, I'm having like a flashback to it. But I'm just saying, I couldn't get out of a chair. And then once Joey Diaz, this is about 13, 14 years ago, we're at the UFC in Houston. Joe invited me down there. He gave me front row tickets. And I'm watching the pre-fight qualifier, you know, stuff. And you know, it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And Joey goes, here, have this cookie. It's not very strong. I know you like mild weed. Trust me, you like Joe's stuff, you'll love this. You can ask Joey. He's told the story on air, too. He hands it to me, and I gobble it. And it tastes like just pure, you know, strong plant. And he goes, he waits till I swallow it. He starts laughing. He goes, oh, man, you are gold. That was like, he said some giant milligram amount. That was, you know, so many grams. Oh, my God, you know I'm a huge pot guy. And he said, I think he's cut back now. He's realized it got bad. He goes, I couldn't even eat one of those. I'd have hallucinations. Oh, my God. He starts laughing. Eddie Bravo starts laughing. About 30 minutes later, I'm sitting there with a Dr. Pepper and popcorn, and I'm like, I got to pee. And I couldn't get out of the chair. And I'm there 5 hours later, paralyzed in the chair. And Joey Diaz comes back from time to time, laughs at me, and I'm literally wanting to kill him. And my bladder is going to burst. And I had every will I had. I literally forced myself up, and I start pissing my pants. Never done that since I'm like 2 years old. Not a lot, but I'm like, oh, my God. And I had to will myself and go, oh, please, God. And I go around and go out and stumble like a zombie into the urinal. And then I basically hang on the urinal for about 10 minutes. People saying, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm about to call an ambulance. And then I just struggle back to the chair. And the fights go on for a few more hours. And I had a hotel next door. And I barely made it back to my hotel. I don't know why I'm telling marijuana stories now. But again, folks, this stuff is strong. Strong, strong, strong. And Joey Diaz is a friend of mine. He's a funny guy. That's the kind of stuff he does. But it's not funny. And it's my fault. I should have known it was a prank. But I reportedly ate a cookie strong enough to, like, you know, knock 3 potheads off their feet. You know, I'm kind of shying away from the nuclear war news, but I guess we should go ahead and get to that, shouldn't we? But there's my point about the marijuana. Kind of went off on a tangent about that. But finishing up on the shooters, here's just a few clips of what's going on. Here's a mass Antifa terrorist around federal building in Eugene, Oregon to protest ICE block employees from exiting. Feds make several arrests. Here's a clip. So this is, roll the audio, please.
Here, with
your fucking iPhone. Ryan, it's the one that, it's not, are you going to lie here? This is smart, how do you feel about
And they admit that their job is to terrorize people. And I love how they're wearing hijabs. That's a nice touch. They come over and hit people with umbrellas. That's their thingy. I mean, look at these people. They're radio listeners. They're like a cross between gremlins and baby grim reapers. And that fat blob looks like Slimer from Ghostbusters gets arrested for tagging people. Now, they're not being as aggressive as they normally are there in Oregon when they firebomb buildings. But there goes Slimer. Then, of course, the local judge will let him out and give him a gold medal. One of them just shot bear spray in an officer's face. People need to stop putting up with this, man. In the old days, they'd have beat the living hell out of that guy. But they just think there's absolutely no repercussions for what they do. So these are the people shooting up ICE facilities all over Texas, killing people. Oh, but it's an Israeli false flag. Yeah? Why are you covering up for Israel? Not everything leads back to Israel, ladies and gentlemen. You got the left allied with Islam, all the rest of it. Here's a Ryan Ralph, convicted of killing Trump, tried to stab himself with a pin in the neck after hearing his guilty verdict. Eyewitnesses say, here's a short report on that.
According to eyewitnesses in the courtroom, Ruth picked up a pen and tried to stab himself in the neck in the middle of the courtroom before four U.S. marshals were able to restrain him.
Look, I love the famous photo of him in the squad car, like he's a hero. He's the good man. He's going to get that fascist totally financed out of Ukraine. And that leads us now to Trump. So Zelensky's a dictator. NATO started the war. It's all on record. Russia is incrementally taking the whole country, doesn't want the whole country, wants a demilitarized zone, is ready to give up land, ready to make a deal, but NATO and Zelensky aren't. And so Trump can't get them to make a deal, so Russia isn't going to make a deal. So now Trump's like, well, I'll just support NATO coming in, which is the reason Russia went in to begin with. And now, oh, you're doing great. You're going to win this war, and it should just continue to go on no matter how long until you get all your land back, which is never going to happen unless there's a nuclear war. And I guess if we snuck attack Russia and, you know, they still destroyed us, but maybe survivors and, you know, 1,000 years come out of the caves or the bunkers, and I guess Ukraine gets its land back, but everybody's dead? I don't know. So let's play a couple of clips of Trump, then I'll read his even more outrageous statement. And again, I just call balls and strikes, folks. You got the white pillars anytime I criticize Trump. So you're a traitor. You're an enemy. It's Trillion D Chess. And then in the black-pilled folks, anytime I support Trump doing something good, oh, you're a sellout. He's pure evil. No, they're doing a great job on the economy and the borders and getting rid of the carbon taxes and exposing replacement migration in the UN. I mean, it's awesome. And exposing the poison shots and Tylenol and pulling the poison dyes out. And Kennedy moved to ban fluoride, then Bondi blocked it, but she's going to get beaten. I mean, we're getting real, not just traction, devastating victories against big pharma tyranny and major reform. And so I was just ecstatic yesterday. I mean, I was on cloud nine. And then an hour towards the end of the show, they come in with this stuff. And I mentioned it a little bit. I was so dumbfounded, but I also knew why Trump was doing it. I understand the logic. I don't agree with it. I understand Trump logic. It works on most things. Not with this. Not with thermonuclear war, bro. And he likes to shake things up, but this has really encouraged NATO and Zelensky. Heaven knows what they're going to do now. He's talked about green lighting, heavy weapons the U.S. transferred over there to hit Moscow. I mean, we are escalating into absolute destruction, according to all, even the mainline analysts and think tanks that run the big war games like the Rand Corporation. So the number one threat to humanity's existence right now is this war in Ukraine. Overall, it's our spiritual decline and people, you know, being removed from the land and removed from, you know, working and removed from competency. That's the general overall threat. And then AI and all the rest of it. But I mean, this is just front and center, and the viruses they've cooked up, corporate and government. I mean, there's a lot of really dangerous existential threats that are getting worse by the minute. And I say that so we're aware of it, so we talk about it, so we do things to mitigate it, because I really like life on planet Earth. I like humanity. I like my four children. I want to have grandchildren. I'm probably close here in a few years. I've told Rex, who's 23, and I've told Charlotte, who's 21, I said, you guys, you know, think getting hitched when you're 30 or so, because everybody tells you to do that. Oh, enjoy your life first. Bull, get going in your 20s, early 20s. Get me grandchildren, damn it. But the world's so horrible. Why would you do that? I want to double down on life. I want to be all in. Basically, no one in the EU bureaucracy or commission has children. Did you know that? Because they've given up on humanity. Why would you have children in a world like this? Because that's why we're going to fight harder. Our ancestors were in serious situations and squalor and crises and war. Did they give up? No. That's why you exist. You persevere. And we don't have 2.2 children for every two people. Society will collapse and all the actuaries. So I wish I had more children. So it's not that I still can't, but the point is that if I had my druthers, I'd have 20. I like Elon Musk. It's a great idea. Well, that's not very Christian. Well, he never said he was a Christian. He's pro-human, though, and now he's putting out the Lord's Prayer, and now he's putting out quotes from Jesus. So he's coming along, folks. People realize this is a fight between good versus evil. But I'll tell you this, the proof's in the pudding. And there's nothing better than children and grandchildren. And I want my grandchildren. I'll say it on air. I want it. Get busy. Get hitched. And let's go. So, here's a couple of clips of Trump. Clips 7 and 8. Here is Trump saying let them get their land back and that the U.S. will give Ukraine security guarantees after the war ends. He also goes on to say, again, oh, NATO should have a role in the country. That's the red line for Russia. And Russia says they're going to attack any NATO forces. And they already got them there, but they're under Ukrainian flags. They're already getting killed. This is, again, I don't know how to describe people that don't study military affairs and threat escalation and escalatory systems. This is as bad as it's ever been. This is worse than the Cuban Missile Crisis. This is out of control. And it's horrible what Trump came out and said and did. I don't see how anybody that's got half a brain would disagree with me. So, and he'll be saying nice things about Russia within 2 weeks. This is what he does. It's how he tries to unfreeze things to get things done. I understand that. I don't think you can apply business negotiation things to war. I've studied war too much. The way it works, it doesn't work like that. War is what you do when the business deals have failed. When legal and normal diplomatic things have failed and cultural, that's what war is once you get there, you don't have the normal negotiation tactics. The Russians know that. They're following the art of war, and Trump is doing the art of the deal and the art of war, and it's dangerous. The U.S. should have already deposed Zelensky, had elections. The Russians, with a deal to not expand westward, are ready to give us all the minerals, give us exclusive access. Russia wants to get in bed with us. It's a smart move for them. All the big think tank actuaries for decades have said that would be the smartest move for the U.S. and Russia. They're not the Soviet Union anymore. That's the real alliance. Split them off from China. I'm just giving you standard Pentagon policy until now, which I actually agree with. Cut off China. Isolate them. That's the real tyranny. This is the worst policies that's been done by the globalists for destabilization of power. So here is here's Trump.
Open it, your phone. A good future.
It is.
We'll be back again.
I think so. They're very enthusiastic in a lot of ways. It's been a terrible war. It should have ended. And Russia should have stopped it. But they've been 3.5 years and they've gotten not so far. So we'll see what happens. But the other side can fight too. And they've proven that. Maybe it's a it could be that Russia's a paper tiger. I don't know what they are, but 3.5 years of fighting and killing everybody, of killing 7,000 people a week for nothing, for nothing. So it's a very sad situation, but most of you have seen the recent statement I put out a little while ago, and I'm glad you got it. But I feel that way. I really do feel that way. Let them get their land back.
Yep.
So we'll see how it all works out. And I, in the meantime, I hear France is doing well, and you're doing well. And he's been my friend, and we've gotten along on just about every subject there is to get along with.
Security guarantees.
So all of us, we understand that President Trump, that he's ready to give Ukraine security guarantees after this war will finish.
And, of course, I don't ever believe anything comes out of Zelensky's mouth, but here's Trump's Truth Social confirming what Zelensky just said. This is from President Trump. After getting to know and fully understanding the Ukraine-Russia military and economic situation, and after seeing the economic trouble it is causing Russia, I think Ukraine, with the support of the European Union, is in a position to fight and win, all caps, all of Ukraine back in its original form. Yeah, over a million dead already. Yeah, right. Right. Within time, patience, and the financial support of Europe and in particular, NATO, the original borders from where this war started is very much an option. Why not? Russia has been fighting aimlessly for 3.5 year war that should have taken a real military power less than a week to win. This is not distinguishing Russia. In fact, it is very much making them look like a paper tiger. They don't want the whole country. They want the security zone, and they want to make a deal where it won't join NATO. That's what they said when they did it. They could have gone in and taken out the main city and invaded Kiev and Kharkiv, but they knew that would precipitate NATO coming in. Trump, they don't want the escalation. It's limited. That's what Putin said, to not escalate. It's limited. When the people living in Moscow and all over the great cities, towns, and districts throughout Russia find out what's really going on with this war, the fact that it's almost impossible for them to get gasoline through the long place in their war economy, where most of their money is being spent on fighting in Ukraine, which has great spirit and only getting better, Ukraine would be able to take back their country in its official form. And who knows, maybe even go further than that. Oh. And only getting better. Ukraine knows, maybe even go further than that. They would be able to take back their country in its original form. And who knows, maybe even go further than that. That's what NATO and the unelected EU Commission has been saying for a decade, that they're going to get a war with Russia to last decades, and then Russia will fall, and then Europe will divide up Russia in five parts. And I mean, well, I've got to read this again. And all the other things that are taking place in their war economy, where most of their money is being spent on fighting Ukraine, which has great spirit and only getting better. Ukraine would be able to take back their country in its original form and, who knows, maybe even go further than that. Putin and Russia are in big economic trouble. And this is the time for Ukraine to act. In any event, I wish both countries well. We will continue to support weapons to NATO, for NATO to do what they want with them. Good luck to all. Donald John Trump, President of the United States of America. So that's Trump saying we're getting out of the war, but we're still going to sell the weapons, which will be taken as an act of war when those get dropped on Russia. And there's more Operation Spiderwebs than the rest of it. So I wrote the headline this morning that Trump does 180, calls for continuance of war. I'm sorry, that's wrong. It's worse than that. We got to change the headline. Trump goes insane, implies Ukraine could conquer Russia, endorsing EU plan to invade and break up Russia, repeating Adolf Hitler's Operation Barbarossa.
I'm running for mayor.
This Democratic Socialist will probably be the next mayor of Minneapolis. And Socialist Zoran Mondani is likely to be the next mayor of New York City.
We have to continue to elect more socialists. And we have to ensure that we are unapologetic about our socialism.
But they should be apologetic. Socialism always fails.
And so it is that in the heart of the American Midwest, where the rusting skeletons of factories once symbolizing unyielding industry, pockets of demographic transformation are quietly reshaping the cultural landscape, inching toward Sharia-compliant majorities that challenge the foundational principles of our republic.
America, the American government, secularism, democracy, capitalism, these are cancers. Non-Muslims are tired of this cancer. They're tired of the American government. They're tired of democracy. They want to see a new way of life. And as Muslims, we have to understand that we have that new way of life.
Take Hamtramck, Michigan, that tiny enclave swallowed by Detroit's sprawl, where census data reveals almost 70% of its 28,000 residents now identify as Muslim, the first and only such city in the United States. It's an all-Muslim city council wielding unanimous power over decisions that echo foreign theocracies rather than the United States Constitution. Just across the line in Dearborn, Michigan, the beating heart of Arab America, over 54% of the 90,000 souls call themselves Muslim, a concentration so dense it accounts for more than half the city's fabric, with mosques towering over streets where calls to prayer mingle with the hum of Ford assembly lines, signaling a trajectory where Sharia's shadow lengthens with every immigrant wave. These aren't isolated anomalies. They're harbingers of a broader shift, fueled by relentless migration and higher birth rates, as Pew projections warn that America's Muslim population, already swelling to 4.5 million, will double to 8.1 million by 2050.
Hezbollah, bombed the embassy in Beirut, and including many Americans, so I just feel it's quite inappropriate.
You are an Islamophobe, and although you live here, I want you to know, as mayor, you are not welcome here. And the day you move out of the city will be the day that I launch a parade celebrating the fact that you moved out of the city.
Carving deeper enclaves in urban strongholds like Minneapolis, where Somali communities push the metro area's Muslim share toward a robust 2.5 to 3% statewide, with local densities in the Cedar Riverside neighborhood rivaling those overseas outposts of influence.
Mayor of Hamtramck, Michigan, Muslim. Mayor of Dearborn, Michigan, Muslim. Mayor of Richardson, Texas, Muslim. Vice President of the Minneapolis City Council, Muslim. U.S. House Representative, Muslim. U.S. House Representative, Muslim. U.S. House Representative, Muslim. New York City mayoral candidate, Muslim. Minneapolis mayor candidate, Muslim.
Yet, as these transformations unfold in the quiet corners of Michigan and Minnesota, the federal machinery stirs with countermeasures aimed at fortifying the ramparts against any encroachment of foreign legal shadows. Two Republican lawmakers thrust forth a bold congressional bill, a legislative dagger aimed straight at the heart of Sharia's insidious creep, barring American courts from enforcing any judgment, decree, or arbitration decision rooted in Islamic law or any alien system that dares violate our sacred constitutional rights, a direct rebuke to the creeping normalization of parallel justice systems. And you may recall the Trump administration unleashed Executive Order 14161 on Inauguration Day, an ironclad edict resurrecting the specter of travel restrictions from terror-prone nations, explicitly designed to shield the homeland from the very ideological threats that Sharia embodies.
She's punished and she's stoned to death. And according to the Sharia, again, when it comes to women, there must be a hole dug in the earth, in the ground, and she must be covered up to the half of the body.
In the end, it's not about exclusion. It's about preservation that ensure Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. John Bount reporting for InfoWars.
President Trump did not just come out yesterday and say, we're going to fully, you know, support Ukraine and NATO, taking back the territory Russia's taken, and that Ukraine's going to win, which is totally insane. Russia's already won with all of their aims. Trump then says, oh, they haven't been able to take the whole country. They've lost. Russia never wanted it. They wanted that control zone to protect their Black Sea fleet, Crimea. He said that's what they do. They create a militarized zone as a line against NATO expansion no further eastward, because that area of Ukraine is where the main attack from the Germans came in late 1942, Operation Barbarossa. You can go watch his speeches, his warnings, what he said he would do. And now the EU says, we're going to fight him for 20 to 30 years, break up Russia into five parts. And Trump, I read the headlines about what he said and saw the videos, and then I saw his Truth Social last night, but I was busy, just kind of read the top of it and thought, oh, well, that's what I saw in the media. No. I should have read the whole thing, because the media didn't report what he really said at the bottom of the statement. And I checked it earlier. No one is reporting this. So I'm getting my mind around this. And after our guest leaves us, I'm going to get into this. And I'm really concerned, and I'm going to really contact the White House and others and just try to get Trump's head screwed on right on this, because they've given him fake intelligence. He's believing the EU lie, not just that they can win this war, but that Ukraine can invade and take over Russia. That's what Trump says here. Oh, they're going to win. They're winning. Maybe they can even take more land than what they originally had as a country. That's the NATO plan. That's the EU plan. This is the time for Ukraine to act. In any event, I wish both countries well. Ukraine would be able to take back their country in its original form and, who knows, maybe even go further than that. And you've heard Zelensky say, we will be in Moscow with our tanks. And then you've got Putin giving a speech and saying, yeah, not since the 40s have we seen German panzers, tanks, burning in Ukraine and on the border of Russia. So Trump is giving public approval to Operation Barbarossa 2.0, which is what Ursula von der Leyen and the unelected EU Commission have been saying. All their defense ministers, all their finance ministers in France, Germany, the UK, they've all said, this is our business plan, war with Russia. I don't know what to say at this point. I mean, I was on cloud nine after Trump taking it to the UN, exposing all their crimes, replacement migration, the UN's a terror group, it's invading us with Islam, the carbon taxes are a fraud, on and on and on and on. The press conference the day before exposing the poison shots and the Tylenol, which are the two things that go together. The Tylenol destroys the glutathione, weakens the blood-brain barrier, then anything toxic just goes in. Males have half the blood-brain barrier, female mammals, not just humans. That's, I knew what the press conference would be because I already know the studies. Okay? And I was so happy. And now this, I mean, this is the biggest gigantic moronic dangerous thing that I've ever seen Trump do. Now, the good news is when the administration does bad things, it's usually his people, like Bondi calling for ADL-style hate speech laws that repeal the First Amendment. Within 5 hours, they reversed it and said, no way. And, you know, back months ago when they were trying to do a peace deal and Ukraine doubled and tripled attacks in Russia, wasn't on our news, Trump didn't know. And I said, once he learns that Ukraine's intensified the attacks, he's going to say they're messing up the peace deal, and he's going to stop blaming Russia, which he later did. And he says, oh, I've just been briefed. Russia's about to collapse. We're winning. You're about to win. Well, I've been studying the situation as well and reading all the big think tank reports, not just U.S., but Russia and everything else. Russia's winning this. And now 100,000 more North Korean troops just went in. I mean, this is out of control. They're outproducing 3-to-1 conventional munitions against NATO and the United States. They cut off most of the gas when NATO blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. And the German and French industries are in free fall. I've got articles today, just insane. The demographics in Europe are the worst in the world. Total insanity, and I don't know why Europe, not just with Napoleon and Hitler, but at least 15 times different European emperors and groups, when they're in trouble, they go, gee, let's attack Russia. That'll be the answer. And it's always, oh, Russia's a paper tiger. We'll go in there and be greeted as liberators. It'll be like an old barn when a high wind of a storm blows in. It will fall in on itself. That's a Hitler quote. Yeah, and Russia really fell in on itself, didn't it, in World War II? If you call 27 million people getting killed on the Russian side, 24 million on the German, because, you know, 90-plus percent of World War II was those two groups toe-to-toe. You know, those are the best UFC fights where they don't do the grappling and all that stuff. But remember the old UFC where the people, two guys would just stand there and just punch each other in the face? Well, I mean, that's basically what went on. So I'm going to get to that later. We've also got Hillary Clinton saying, you know, that Trump's a white supremacist, white men are the problem, and Kamala Harris saying he's a communist dictator. I mean, they're getting really desperate. So we'll be getting into all of that coming up. And then it's all over the news about the DOJ investigating the Democrats and how they created all those fake lawsuits and raised hundreds of millions of dollars off my name, playing victim, and destroyed Remington. And it's when you're Sandy Hook families, Democrat Party, DOJ, wanting to get rid of the Second Amendment and First Amendment, and then all they've done to destroy me and my crew and my family and everything else, and then they say, he's harassing us again. Yeah, you're trying to block my appeals. You're trying to shut us down. You don't want money. You know you're going to lose on the appeals. And so, oh, the DOJ is looking into how the DOJ funded us and ran propaganda against us. And they spin that. You read these news articles, and it's just it's next level propaganda. All right, we're going to go to our guest here in just a moment. You know we fund this operation with your support. And I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. Bigly does. And they got the best supplements, the best Patriot apparel, everything. And they fund the Alex Jones Network. And they fund InfoWars. They're our main sponsor. And when you go there, you keep us on the air. But even if they're able to shut this place down, they're in the news. They're on their last gasp. We've almost got them. And let's see about that, because a lot more is about to come out. This just set the table with what you just saw. Stuff that is unbelievable is coming up. But right now they want to know, oh, the FBI and DOJ ran and created this, and there's laws against that. And you, for your own personal gain as a government official, Here's the U.S. code. We want to talk to you. Preserve your records. Well, wait till what you learn, the other stuff going on. The auction that wasn't, when they told the federal judge they had an auction, but we have all the emails and depositions that they said we're going to have a fake auction. That's got a name, bankruptcy fraud. Some other names for it. So, four other things. So six total, I heard. So that's going to be very interesting with Ed Martin's task force. We appreciate his hard work. This is what his task force is against, strike forces, government weaponization against citizens. They're like, but we demonized him. He's a bad guy. We said so. Oh, we'll see. We'll see about that. So here's the new sale. Everybody loves creatine. We've got a really strong private label, one of the top brands of the best creatine in the country. All these amazing health effects. For those who already love creatine, this is some of the best. Buy it from us. Support the broadcast. It's a win-win. Ultimate Creatine is now available at thealexjonesstore.com. Unleash your peak performance with Ultimate Creatine Powder. Now available on thealexjonesstore.com. Intensify muscle strength. It helps lose fat. This exclusive formula, only for VIP members, I should add, because this is a limited supply, just came in at thealexjonesstore.com, because we know it will sell out fast. Sign up for a VIP for $30 a month, like on Amazon Prime, cancel any time, and you get $40 instant store credit to secure your supply now and experience the explosive workouts, razor-sharp focus from this micronized creatine powder. And it's just the private label, one of the top brands in the country. It's already tested out and awesome. We don't reinvent the wheel. Ultimate Creatine Powder ignites muscle growth and raw strength by supercharging ATP production for unstoppable muscle power, endurance, and size. Especially like the opposite of Tylenol, what that does to your blood-brain barrier. This strengthens it. It boosts battle-ready performance and recovery by crushing fatigue and speeding up recovery, letting you push harder. Creatine supercharges cognitive dominance by amplifying brain energy and reverses a whole bunch of problems in the body, delivering razor-sharp focus, memory, mental clarity for any challenge. But don't wait, because it will sell out. They got a limited supply. Join the VIP Elite for $30 at thealexjonesstore.com and use your $40 credit to grab Ultimate Creatine Powder or anything else you want today. Not only does getting your bottle of Ultimate Creatine supercharge your mind and body, but it also keeps it on the air. Go down to thealexjonesstore.com and fight back against the globalists who want to shatter your mind, body, and soul and take this operation off the air. There's a bunch of other sales that are about to end tomorrow on the site, so... But if you really want to get something, creatine's great. You really, this is a micro type. It's really good, the best type. Our bovine colostrum. Everybody knows colostrum is incredible. Well, this is, again, private label of one of the best brands in the country. 2,000 milligrams per serving. It is amazing. Get that as well. All right. All right, we got Nate Cornacchia with us, and I saw some of his videos, thought they were pretty informative, and so I wanted to get him on. We've been having a lot of former Special Operations, Delta Force people, Navy SEALs, you name it, on Nate Cornacchia, retired Green Beret out of the 1st SFG, spent years in the Army Special Forces, and military combat honors include Army Commendation Medal with Valor, Army Commendation Medal, C Device, and AAM with C Device. All for operations in Afghanistan, and he's at Valhalla VFT. Nate Cornacchia, thanks for coming on. I think the best place to start here is just to give us your overview, why you have questions, what you think might really be going on. I'm not a ballistics expert like somebody like you, but I've had on very well-known snipers and experts, and they say they don't know what to think. I mean, I have shot wild hogs and things straight on and seen a high caliber bullet, 30-06, and not with 30-06. I've shot hogs 30-06. I've done with a 300 Win Mag where I shot it straight on. It wasn't turning. I had to. It was coming out of the woods. And it went in, bounced off a bunch of stuff, and then bounced back up into the shoulder. Didn't come out, but when we butchered it, we saw that. And I've had some other things like that happen. But coming down at an angle like this, in my experience with 30-06 at 200 yards, it's going so fast that even if it grazed off of one of the neck bones, that wouldn't really be hard enough to change its trajectory and bounce it down like this. And people said, well, what are you doing putting this out? That's what TPUSA told me. I saw what they said. I said, this is ridiculous. They called me within an hour, the spokesman, who I know well, great guy. And he said, listen, I'm going to give you all the gory details here, but, you know, please don't put this out. And I said, well, I have to. He says, okay, but please. And he described and had the notes of what the surgeon, the attending surgeon, told him. And that's why he said the bone was so hard, Man of Steel, is that it did come in at an angle you'd think would still just kind of come out on the lower neck or higher in the center of the back at that speed. But again, I've talked to FBI ballistics guys. They say sometimes bullets do weird things. What do you think's going on here?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Alex, and for that nice introduction. Appreciate being on the show. I'm with everybody else in that we really don't know. There's so much weird stuff, and we'll get into bullets do funny things. This is something we say all the time in the global war on terror. They do when you're talking about, you know, small caliber, 5.56, things like that. You'll see weird things. I've got a buddy that got shot in the forehead. That bullet actually wrapped around his skull, blew out the back, never penetrated. But you also see a 5.56 round do what we call canoeing someone's skull, basically just splitting it in half down the middle. So it's hard to say. But what I will say with this was, we're talking about a 30-06, okay? And I actually have, you know, little demo rounds here of how big a 30-06 round is for the viewers that don't understand compared to a 5.56 round. This is a gigantic, gigantic round comparatively, okay? I have a 30-06 right back here, Browning 30-06, that's killed a moose and broken through moose bone, elk bone. And you're talking about these giant animals that weigh, you know, 1,000, 1,500 pounds that have incredibly dense bone because they have to carry the weight.
Yeah, I've shot through a large elk at 300 yards with a 300 Win Mag, and it went through, and then the bullet broke up in three pieces and blew three holes out on the other side.
Yeah, but now we're not talking about elk bone. We're not talking about an elk neck that's got thicker skin, thicker muscle, 3, 4, 5 times the size of a human neck. We're talking about a human neck, and the vertebrae in a human neck, and this is where I think it just gets silly, is one of the most fragile bones in the body, right? It's not even completely thick all the way through. Your spinal cord is going up through it. There's discs in between it. It's more soft bone because you got to be able to have the flexibility to move your neck around and do stuff like that. And so as we see in this ballistics test here, that's a 30-06 round against a human replica skull within a ballistics gel. It shows like the head gets completely decapitated. So where this story got ridiculous to me was the surgeon post. Because if we're going to take the FBI at their word and say this was a 30-06 from the front, from 150 yards, and somehow this magic steel neck stopped a 30-06 round, it's not a thing. I want to say, like, even in the realm of bullets do funny things, 30-06 rounds don't do funny things on a human neck.
And so you think my lay experience is correct. With a smaller, you know, caliber, they can tumble, they can bounce off things easier. But with a super high-powered rifle, that's my experience, is it takes a lot for them to really start changing direction. And so if it's coming down at an angle about like this, it would, again, blow out at the bottom of the neck. It would shoot right through like butter. In fact, it's going so fast, it would probably just blow not a normal huge hole like a 30-06 would do, maybe a 2-inch hole instead of what it went through your chest, a 4-inch hole on the other side. And so this is like 1 out of 1,000 that this story can be true?
Let me say this. If we're talking a regular 30-06 with a straight from the hunting store full metal jacket round, it's a 0% chance. If you want to get into weird, okay, Hornaby. The kid reloaded, he reloaded rounds and he only put 110 grain in and then he put a frangible tip on it. Now we're getting into the like small 1-2%, right? If we do these massive mental gymnastics to make this narrative work, maybe. But if you're talking about a regular high-powered 30-06 with a full metal jacket round on a human neck from 150 yards, it never doesn't go through. I mean,
when I've shot elk and stuff, even with a soft point, it goes through.
Well, and that's my point. And I've heard this frangible round. It's like at 150 yards, the bullet's moving at, you know, 2,400 feet per second. That's probably still going to blow through a soft human neck, even with that. So I've never thought this was a 30-06 from me seeing the shot, seeing what happened to Charlie's neck, and then the FBI, the second they put out this Mauser 30-06 story, I immediately didn't believe it. And yeah, here's another good test here of, you know, thick. This is actually thicker, way thicker bone than a human neck vertebrae would be. And it blows through the bone. It blows through the dummy. It blows a massive hole in the wall behind it. So this is where we have a problem, is that, in my opinion, what I'm not saying is, and this is where it gets complicated, could the surgeon's report be true? Could Charlie Kirk been shot in the neck and that bullet lodged underneath his skin and it got stuck? Sure, but sure as shit, not if it's a 30-06 round. If you want to talk about a pistol round, a 22 round, even 5.56, Alex, is... And here's the thing, right? Like, in our profession, we've induced a lot of high-powered rifle rounds on human bodies, and we've also treated a lot of high-powered rifle rounds on human bodies. And I couldn't even see a 5.56 round not making it through his neck. That's even pushing the possibilities of this kind of getting ridiculous. So if the surgeon's statement is correct, that means that's not the murder weapon. I just can't believe that that's the murder weapon, if that's the case.
So using deduction like Sherlock Holmes, I totally agree with you, because I don't think the surgeon's in on it, and I don't think that the TPS USA people are. But absolutely, I don't believe that's a 30-06, even an angle going in like that. And, I mean, even a 22 long rifle at 150, 200 yards, in most cases, I think would go through most of the neck. This makes no sense.
Yeah, and to your point, when we're talking about, I've seen a lot, there's a bunch of videos now that have proved that it's, you know, a shot from behind the back of the neck, and that's an X wound out the front. And then there's another video, I think it's the third video I submitted to you guys that just came out this morning. We finally got an image, a video from behind Charlie, which is proving that he was shot from the front. And there's kind of things that I'm going to do a video on it later today that you can kind of pick apart about both that make, is this true? Is this not true? I don't think we have conclusive evidence at all to sort of figure this out. But what I will say is this. If you were to give, with all the information and knowledge we have right now, here we go. Here's the video. So what they're saying is here, see how the back of the shirt poofs up when he gets hit? What he's saying in the video is that's now conclusive proof Charlie got hit from the front. The problem is we've all seen the front view of that, where when he gets hit, the front of the shirt comes all the way up to his face as well. And then not only that, okay, if he got shot from the front here, you see this massive blowout of the shirt. Yeah, but there's no exit wound. So the bullet's not causing that massive blowout in the back. This is you could very easily still have been hit from that footage up here in the back of the head with a smaller caliber munition underneath Charlie's hair. In that footage, an entrance wound is going to be very, very hard to see initially in that fast footage. It's still possible that that's getting hit from the side actually blows the shirt up in both directions, sort of from the impact of that. So I'm not sure.
Wow.
I'm not sure what we're looking at here.
I want to play these videos you're talking about, Nate. Oh, man, I tell you, this is crazy. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I see the post Saturday while I'm out with family driving around in between places, and it's just pure crap. Man of Steel, 30-06, bounced off, was still in the body. Absolutely impossible, okay? That is just ridiculous. I mean, yeah, maybe at 1,500 yards or something when the bullet's partially spent, not moving, still at basically top velocity the first 200 yards of 30-06 round. You can look that up, 2,500 feet per second. Hotter load, even faster. It goes through, and then it just devastates. And you've seen the ballistic test. It just blows heads completely away. But exactly as Nate said, it doesn't mean the surgeon's lying. It means another bullet hit him and that something else was going on here. And people wanted me to believe it was a setup day one. And they said, oh, the guy on the stage shoots him under the arm. It's a cell phone under his arm. They hear the shot. Everybody goes, whoo, like that. And then they say, oh, it's this guy back here behind him. He's got one of those cell phone guns. And you blow it up. It's a water bottle. He's sitting there unscrewing the water bottle like this. So everybody had their own theory. And then it was also Israel did it, because Israel was getting upset with Charlie Kirk, and they were starting to get into it. but I can't say Israel did it with no proof. But then I saw this surgeon thing and I went crazy. I said, this is pure crap. Then I get the call from the head of the TPUSA spokesperson who was there, and I've known as a nice guy. I don't think he's a bad guy. He goes, no, I didn't want to give the details. And then the surgeon, he read his notes, what was described, all the different lumbar numbers he listed, and then it went down and the bullet fragmented and hit the heart and then bounced back up into the neck. And I'm just like, okay, well, that sounds like a 5.56 or something. Again, I'm not a ballistics expert, but I've shot a lot of stuff, a lot of animals and a lot of junkyards. I mean, tens of thousands of rounds, and I know what they do. So we got a real expert here with us, and I'm going to have other experts on to figure this out, because I said if we found evidence of skullduggery, we'd go there. Then you got the ChatGPT style love letters to his tranny boyfriend, and you've got inconsistencies in the time metadata that are big, and all the rest of it. I hate to speculate because I'm not the conspiracy theorist they say I am. Just so many times an official story ends up to be pure bull, a lot of times through incompetence, a lot of times through a cover-up. I want to play this video. You were talking about clip three here in a moment, but Nate, just overall, without speculating, but at a certain point we have to, so obviously what you say we don't know is the facts. We're just trying to speculate. What are the avenues here? What are you and your associates that are smart thinking really happen here?
So there's another thing nobody's been talking about, and it's the acoustics of what a 30-06 would sound like in an amphitheater like this. And I think one of the most telling things here, if you play that video from behind again, I don't want you to watch Charlie. I want you to watch the crowd. And what you won't see anyone in the crowd do is turn around and look at what would have sounded like a bomb going off in this amphitheater if this was an unsuppressed 30-06. I don't know if anybody understands how loud this gun is. Look at the crowd. Does anyone turn around? He's already been shot. The gunshot's been already gone off. Nobody even panics until they see him actually hit and fall out of the chair. That tells me the acoustics, and everyone in the crowd I've heard, I know a guy who was in the front row of the crowd here on the other side of that. He said it, and he was in law enforcement for 20 years. He said it sounded like a 22 round or a suppressed maybe 5.56 300 blackout round. I'm trying to explain to people, had a 30-06 gone off 100 yards away in that amphitheater, every single person in that amphitheater would have immediately ducked, looked behind them exactly where that round came from and went, oh my God, what was that? But if you watch everyone from every different angle, from people up on the roofs, people down on the floor, when that gunshot goes off, nobody turns around to where that shooter is. That's very, very, very odd to me.
Other than some of the leftists cheering, some of the leftists get up and cheer and do look back.
Yeah, well, that's a little odd, right? But the actual crowd itself, watch the crowd. No one turns around. You have some of these people here that are kind of looking left and right. But again, a 30-06 round going off in that amphitheater would have sounded like, it's almost sounded like a bomb going off.
Oh, absolutely. It's very loud for those that don't know. So what does the report sound like? What type of weapon does that remind you of?
Well, there's an acoustics expert that has actually done the acoustics of this that sounds like the shot came from 70 to 90 feet away. And again, it's hard because, you know, I'm a firearms instructor. I film, you know, my students all the time on iPhone cameras. The audio is so hard to tell. Like, is it a 9mm? Is it a suppressed 308? It'd be very difficult to tell.
But would that be the stairwell up from an angle behind him where we do see a flash?
So I've looked at that flash video quite a few times. I don't know how deep I want to get into this to tell you. Is it possible there's someone up in that room and that flash comes from? Yes. If that's the case, now I'm sorry, I put my tinfoil hat on a little bit. Now we're getting into actual professional hit style stuff. And I don't want to go too in detail about how we carry out, you know, sniper operations from urban environments, but that would coincide with someone who knew what they were doing. There's offset in a dark room, most likely had blinds or whatever they can put in front of it, looking out a small area hole to where they can just see the targets, where they can actually take that shot and nobody is going to know where it came from. Again, that's tinfoil. That would be sort of the...
Sure, okay, but that's why people said this guy, the supposed shooter, was unprofessional, because why would you do it up prone on right. top of a building? You would do it from an area of concealment.
Correct. Yeah. And that's one of the biggest thing right away. People said this kid on the roof's obviously not a professional. Who knows? I'm making no definites in anything in this situation. But to your point, yeah, nothing about that kid on the roof screams professional hit from, him getting up there, laying on the prone on the very edge of the roof where everybody would be able to see him after the shot. So, but again, I don't know. But what the one thing I do know is this 30-06 Man of Steel story, it doesn't work. Like, no matter how you want to wrap your head around it. So then we have to figure out, okay, well, are we dealing with incompetence? Are we dealing with lying? What I'll say is this. If my biggest thing now is, like, where's the autopsy report? Like, if I were to be able to walk up to Charlie and look at him myself, I'd be able to, and see the bullet, I would be with the information we have, I'd be able to pretty much solve not who did it, but how it was done pretty much immediately. And so why we're not getting that, I don't know. It's very confusing, because from the limited footage we have, I can't conclusively say he was shot from the front, he was shot from the back.
Well, you just said that's the elephant in the room. And I've been trying to find out. They say, oh, we'll get the autopsy, and I can't find the medical examiner ordering it. I can't find anywhere if there was an autopsy. We see a day later, he's already flown to Arizona. J.D. Vance takes him there. We see the wife, Erica, in an open casket petting his hand. That Which usually they don't usually do a coroner examination the next day. I think there probably wasn't an autopsy, and under law,
I don't think there was either.
Under law, I have to check Utah, but I think it's in all 50 states. That's illegal to not do an autopsy in a murder like this. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, to your point, right? It's an open casket, which means he's already been embalmed, which means he got embalmed pretty much immediately. For him to travel like that, because that is something they want to do, right? They want to embalm, someone as fast as possible if they can. But in something high profile as this, from what I'm hearing, and again, I have no idea if this is true or not. You would know more than me, Alex, is that he didn't. There was no autopsy done, and that they potentially immediately embalmed him and moved him.
And that's I've a made big calls problem. And I'm told, oh, we don't know. Let us check, which I think is bull. And that's why I'm starting to get really upset here.
I'll tell you this, if you gave me the TPU footage from that high fidelity camera, right? That can't, not the iPhone footage, but the camera that nobody seems to, other than Candace Owens, I guess, has seen it. The footage from this high fidelity camera that they use to stream on their own website. You give me that footage and you give me the real autopsy report. You let me actually see what happened. I can tell you exactly what he was shot with, from what direction, what round was used immediately. But those things are the two things that, Of everything the FBI has shoved, and this is where it's confusing, Alex. The FBI has constantly just ahead of themselves, throwing out information on Twitter. We got the guy. We don't got the guy. We got the guy. We don't got the guy. Here's the gun. Well, maybe that's not the gun. We figured it out. Oh, well, maybe we didn't figure it out. So the FBI is giving us all the information possible as fast as possible, but not the two things that we need to just solve the case. That's very, very odd to me. I don't know how you feel about that.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, here we are 2 weeks into this now. It's 2 weeks only. And unlike what the media says about me, I don't just think, oh, this is interesting. This will get clicks. Let me just say this. A bunch of other people have done that, and they've been mad at me because I'm just saying, almost all the other theories, this guy shoots him under the arm. I say, clearly, it's a cell phone. You're a traitor for saying that. Or, this guy shoots him here. There was so much bull to walk through. And I don't think Candace Owens is a bad person. I think if she says that they let him see footage or let her see footage, it's probably true from the HD camera behind. But they need to then release that, obviously. And of course, she's saying, right, that there's no exit wound.
Yeah, but I mean, that no exit wound works with the surgeon's report, right? He's shot in the front of the throat, and this is the entrance wound. There's no exit wound. That all works. But
if he's shot with low caliber in the hairline, a lot of times no blood comes out of the entrance wound.
Correct.
That could mean it was shot down in through the way the surgeon said. And he's obviously, we don't think, lying. He just has been lied to about the caliber.
Yeah, and a lot of things actually lend to the theory that he's shot behind from behind. Again, up to the right and behind. Now, again, I can't confirm, but the way his body recoils, again, the fact that both the front and the shirt come up at the same time and back down. Also, we've still framed, or I haven't, but a video still framed of what looks like the skin starting to bulge and protrude from the front, and that being potentially the exit wound. Here's what I'll say, make this a little bit difficult, because people are saying, well, that's a pretty small exit wound. That couldn't have been a 30-06 or a, you know, 308 or anything. Well, not necessarily, because we have to keep in mind with the way ballistics works, and this tip, right, as you know, Alex, it's designed as it enters in to mushroom out to create more and more damage. Usually, though, it does take a little bit of time for that round to actually fully mushroom out and travel through and create that massive exit wound. So on a deer, an elk, on this small area of the neck, would the round had time to actually fully mushroom out? Not necessarily. So that could potentially be
a
5.56 caliber exit wound from a 5.56 or 300 blackout. And it just, the round hadn't had time to sort of fully blossom out and create that 2-inch exit hole. So, but still could be an entrance wound from what I'm seeing.
Well, too. Let me bring something into the fact that we should all be focused on where is the autopsy? Was there an autopsy? And it should be published. And the fact that no one's really talking about that is crazy. But what about this? The surgeon says the bullet was under the skin, so we know the round. Why would they not be showing the bullet? Why are we not hearing about this bullet?
Well, so if the theory where the gunshot comes from the upper right and exits out as an exit wound, then the surgeon report is not true because the bullet exited the body. The only way the surgeon report works is if he's shot from the front, potentially with a low caliber round, and to your point, okay, if the bullet was right underneath the skin, show me what it looks like. Show me what it is. A forensics expert could tell us immediately what round that was. And if you're going to tell me that that's a 30-06 round that's not even blossomed out, that's just kind of sitting in the neck, then I'm gonna have to throw my hands up and say something real fishy is going on.
And if we don't, if there was an autopsy, Fish City, and if they won't show us the bullet, but if they could just give us a fake bullet too. But this is insane. Just like the lone gunman, you know, thing, and they dropped the bullet on the stretcher undamaged. I mean, give me a break, folks. Let's go ahead and since you mentioned it, play the shot ringing out from three different angles. Then we'll go right into clip number three. Mind blowing new footage shows exactly where Charlie Kirk was shot. That's what they're saying. We're just asking the question. Here it is.
Oh my God.
Go, run.
Not condoning gang violence. Not condoning gang violence.
All right, so here's what we're looking at. He gets hit right here, and I freeze frame the first moment that it hits him. And you can see right there, it blows backwards. Okay. Now we're going to look at that again, because I think that is the most definitive thing that we've seen in terms of the direction. To me, it seems very clear that the shot came from the front, because again, his shirt blows backwards. And take a look again, and you see the way that his body reacts. Boom. Right. It gets hit right there. And then there you go. The shiver goes up. To me, this appears to indicate that he was shot from the front.
You know, I forgot to give the crew this clip today. I think I played it Sunday. But I saw folks saying, oh, look, he shot in the side of the neck on the back right side, because you see skin go up over the edge of the shirt. But if you actually look at the footage, the shockwave's like this, and it pushes the skin up over the neck all over the place. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm seeing. And then they say he wasn't wearing a bulletproof vest, but it looks to me like he is wearing a light one. So when I first saw it, the Wednesday it happened, you know, during my show, I had Harrison host the last 30 minutes. I had a legal call I had to make. It was an emergency. So I walk in the break room, and they go, Charlie Kirk's been shot. So I run in. They go, yeah, we're already covering it. And I get on air, and I look at it, and I say, with the shirt and all this, it looks like it goes in like a handgun round or something, bounces up and hits the throat, because it doesn't. It does look like a big entry wound, but it doesn't look like an exit wound. What do you think?
So, yeah, we covered the body armor thing really hard, me and another Green Beret, week or so ago, because again, from the front footage, when you see it, it does look weird, like he gets hit and it almost looks like he's got plates on and there's that refraction. The reason why we were initially so interested in that is that could potentially solve the 30-06 round issue, right? Like the 30-06 round hits the ballistic plate, pops up, boom. Well, the problem is we've got footage from everywhere of Charlie entering the arena. Like everywhere you look, you can very clearly see he does not have body armor. And if we're going to talk like he had these tiny minimalist plates on, well, now we run into another big problem, because guess what? This 30-06 round goes through most body armor and most ballistic plates, unless it's, you know, like level 5 body armor that's designed to take high-powered rounds.
Absolutely. We've tested it with high-powered rifles. It goes right through level 3.
Right. So if you've got this, like, and you can see here, he's got no body armor on the back. You can see his shoulder blades. You can see everything. And from everybody in the crowd that's told me, once he enters here, he sits down. He doesn't get up to leave. He doesn't go behind the tent to change anything. And you can see, we've showed multiple pictures of him sitting there where you can see his nipples, and there's obviously no.
I agree with you. But when he gets hit, it kind of makes the indention of it, maybe an undershirt, but I don't think that was there. So, where do you see this going now? Because it's not going to go away. And again, I've had listeners really wanting me from day one to say definitively, I've interviewed all these experts. They don't know. We just know the official story doesn't add up.
So that's, you know, and obviously it's not just me that's like tried to figure this out. I got tons of other Green Berets and Navy SEAL buddies and Marine Scout snipers, and we've all racked our heads over this. And we don't know. I mean, we're doing the best we can to figure it out with a little limited information. But what I haven't found is a single person, whether it be a Global War on Terror infantryman, Marine Scout sniper, Green Beret, Delta Force operator, Navy SEAL, big game hunter, not a single person believes the story that Charlie was shot in the front, within the neck, with a 30-06, and the round just sat in his skin. No one I know believes that. And so, but that's the official story. Right. So here we are going, well, the official story is beyond implausible, nearly impossible. Well, where do we go from here? Because what it seems like to me, what they're going to do is this kid's going to get railroaded. We're not going to hear anything about the trial. He'll probably get sentenced. He's going to get put to death, and they're going to wash their hands of it.
Nick Cornacchia, let me ask you this. I mean, I think you're going to agree with me. I think the listeners are. We can't just sit here and go, oh, well, it fits the narrative. It's a tranny, the left. And there are a bunch of trannies and left out doing this. We have to now, because of this, stay on this wherever it leads. And we have to start demanding. We need MTG and other members of Congress. We need the governor. All of these people need to have pressure put on them. We want to know there was an autopsy yesterday. We want the autopsy released. And we want to see the damn bullet. And if we're not given that, then we know there's a cover-up. And then we have to ask, who in the government would want him dead and who would cover it up? And then we start entering into Israel, but the Democrats hate him. He got 2+ million people to vote for Trump last time. I mean, he had a lot of enemies. So we are speculating. But what do you say to that action plan? And then if they don't release the autopsy, which I bet didn't happen the way they're behaving, then who do you think the suspects are? We now have to. I think we're now 2 weeks in. Now we're entering the wheelhouse of where I think it's legitimate to start saying that.
So everybody that watches my content knows I'm not a tinfoil guy. I try to stick strictly to objectively what I'm seeing.
Sure, but if there's a cover-up, we got to start asking why.
Yeah, right. Right. But I did do an episode where I talked about all the potentials and who could benefit. And man, there's 5-6 entities, right? And so the first one, right, when you talk about Charlie Kirk with the left or Soros, some Soros-backed hit. If you think about why is that big? Well, Charlie Kirk, and I'm sure you know the statistics, I believe in 2023, Gen Z males were polling +18 Democrat. And in 2025, they're now polling +22 Republican. That's a 44-point shift. And Democrats can't win an election without the young vote. It's just never going to happen. And who's responsible for that huge shift? Well, Charlie Kirk probably has the most to deal with it. So you got the incentives there. You have obviously all the Israel stuff with all that weird, weird shit going on about, you know, that you guys, I'm sure, have covered that. You have, like, it's very odd. Why did the Senate vote to block the Epstein files 1 hour after he was pronounced dead? All those things are weird. You get into foreign countries, right? If you're China, Russia, Iran, that you want to ignite some type of division and civil war within the United States to bring it down within. That's another option. You have our own government, right? As you just mentioned, there's so many entities that benefit from this that I don't know where to start with. I would just be speculating based off of, you know, what it is. But for what I think people shouldn't do, and I see some people doing this, be like, oh, well, it was 100% this. We know it was this, you know, leftist kid with his furry boyfriend, or we know it was Israel, or we know it was X, we know it was that. I don't think we have any information to really show us one way or another yet.
No, I totally agree. But now if they don't release it, or there wasn't an autopsy and they don't show the bullet, then we know there's a cover-up, and then we officially have to start asking this. And I'll say this. I have studied false flags. It's well-known in history. It's why the great movie, The Shooter, is fiction. But they call, you know, this Army Special Operations expert in to, you know, to help protect the president from snipers, and then they set him up, but they're unable to kill him, so now he's on the run. You can use drills to set people up and have cover. You can also know that somebody's coming to kill them, like we saw in Pennsylvania. We know there was another shooter there. That's proven out by the water tower in the woods, at least, from the trajectory and the bullet we see coming through. That's an hour breakdown, at least. It's insane. Investigators that were there that I know, it's proven. But you then piggyback someone else on top of the person that's not professional to make sure the job gets done, just like they had Marinus Vanderloob tried to, literally mentally retarded communist. He did try to go burn the Reichstag, but they made sure, and the SS was there to make sure the job got done. So that is very plausible that he was coming, he was there, he was going to shoot, and when he got in position, then that's when the real assassin took him out.
Well, I was going to say, do you want to hear, if I had to give, like, gun to my head, what I think happened from, you know,
stay
that
there. Nick Fuentes is at 6 after, but we'll have 5 more minutes. We're getting Nick Fuentes connected right now for an hour, 50-minute discussion on so many big topics. But Nate is our guest. We'll be back in 2 minutes with him to talk about this. But everybody wanted me to jump to conspiracy right away. Nope, I got to get facts. It's taken 2 weeks to investigate. Now we're getting some answers. All right, Nick Fuentes has come up in about 5 minutes. Be with me for the balance of the 2 hours. Nick Carnacchia, very smart guy, very impressive. Didn't really know who he was. Seen a few of his things before, but been watching his show, really like it. And I think he's being really fair and reasonable and looking for the truth. Again, most of the theories and stuff we saw was pure crap. And I don't mind being attacked, but I've been attacked by every group that knew this is it. You know, his security guard kills him. It's a cell phone, folks. You're literally accusing an innocent person. Or the guy with the cell phone, it's a gun, or this or that. No. But now the preponderance of evidence is there's a cover-up. We haven't heard about the autopsy because I bet $1 million there isn't one. And all we hear about is the attending physician, and I can't get answers. But in closing, the 4 minutes we have left, we'll have you back up, Nate. The question, you were going to give the answer.
Well, I was just going to say this. If I like get my tinfoil hat on a little bit here and conjecture what really happened here, if I had to guess, and I'm going to say this is assuming this actually makes everything work. It makes the FBI story work. It makes the surgeon report work. It makes all these work. Okay, so let's take the assumption that this kid actually did stash a 30-06 Mauser in the woods that the FBI found. We see the ballistics. The surgeon report is true. What I see, and we know that entities do this, is they get ingrained in these Discord chats, Reddits, they radicalize these kids. And so what I would think, if I were to set this up and I'm going to action this target and I want to get away from it myself as the shooter, here's what I do. We get this kid to go plant the rifle for me, okay? You're going to plant the rifle in the bushes here at X location. That way the shooter, me, can come and grab the rifle. What I need you to do is go to the roof and I need you to spot for me. Let me know, you know, text me if anybody sees me coming to grab the rifle and go up to the roof. I get the kid up on the roof. I'm actually staged in, let's say, an offset area and behind a window back right there, ready to take a shot. That kid's on the roof. I take the shot. I take out Kirk. That kid panics, goes, what the hell is going on? You see him take off the roof. How's that work? Well, that kid's DNA is on the 30-06. That 30-06 is in the woods. The FBI does find it, attaches everything together. Now you have your fall guy. Now you have your patsy. The real shooter walks away. Also, I shot him in the neck with a lower caliber round. That guy did actually get stuck in the neck because it's a different shooter. Okay, so again, this is tinfoil hat, guys, to the viewers, right? This is just me speculating. If I had to try to, from the information we have, make it all actually work, that would be my full tinfoil hat theory on that.
And I've talked to a lot of other Green Berets and people that don't know that some of the stuff that goes on is things like that in the military, and we'll just stop there, in other countries and things, is that the regular FBI, the locals, they're not involved in this. You create a story that feeds them that. But it's not the local FBI agent or any of these people are involved. They're just given the official script. And we know inside these Discord chats, it is full of intelligence agencies, operatives, NGOs.
Yeah.
This is exactly what they do over and over again. It's like in that movie Arlington Road that's fiction with Jeff Bridges, but it's so accurate how they set up this professor, you know, to look like he's the radical that blows up the federal building, but really it's an intelligence agency doing it the whole time.
Yeah, and again, I'm not saying that's what happened, but that makes everything work. It makes the FBI's reporting work. It makes the surgeon's reporting work. It makes everything work. But what the problem with that is, then it tells us this kid's not the shooter. There was a second shooter, and this was a probably high level hit by some type of entity. That's the problem we then get into.
And I will say now that I gut level, I believe that's where we are now. And I didn't want to say that till we had evidence. But all the way it's all scripted for the system, because they're not involved, the average government people. With these type of conspiracies, only a few people are involved, folks. And then you have other groups that are compartmentalizing and getting it prepared. It's all need to know. That's why they have that. And if they don't release the autopsy, if there wasn't one, then, Nick, I think that I think we've got some big problems here. Thank you so much. I think the Democrats are still NGOs. Soros is still the main culprits, piggybacking on one of their leftists because they have the most to gain from this. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Alex. Good to meet you.
Valhalla VFT on YouTube. And where are you on X?
I don't use X, Alex, so Instagram and YouTube.
All right. We need to get you on X, bro.
I can't figure out how to use it. It's the problem. So I got to figure that out.
Oh, man, it's amazing. All right. Thank you so much. All right. I'll be completely frank with everybody like I always am. That's my superpower. I really like Nick Fuentes. When I first met him more than 9 years ago, I thought he was smart. I thought he was funny. I knew some of his origin story, how he was censored, for just mildly asking, why is Israel so involved in our country? And I mean, I'm a routine watcher. I don't have a lot of time, but I mean, I probably watch an hour or so or more of his nightly show every other day. So, I mean, I don't have a lot of time. I'm a regular viewer. I think he's very snarky, very funny, very witty. He knows a lot of history. For 26, it's extremely impressive. I think he knows more history than I did at 26, and I've been a history buff. So that said, though, every time I'm sitting there about to get him on as a guest, I call it a debate because we debate things. We disagree on some things. But then I see things he says and does, and sometimes I think it's a little too mean. And so, but then at the end of the day, people need to stop being so nice in politics when the left and the globalists literally say white people are inherently evil and Christians and Catholics are inherently evil and white men are the worst thing on earth and all of this garbage. How do you then get mad at Nick, who then says back to them half of what they're saying? See, so you change the rules of the game. I'm not some closeted racist that hates black people. In fact, I've grown up in Dallas, had a ton of black friends, really cool, fun people. I've also dealt with racist black people that have physically attacked me many times. I mean, how many black people out there have been in, let's not exaggerate, 50 fights with black people? I mean, how many black folks have had at least 50 times that white people attacked you? I bet 99, because I know the statistics, percent of black folks out there have never had a white person physically attack you. And we know it's 20 to 1, 15 to 1, black on white crime. I don't, in general, dislike black people because it's still a tiny minority of young black males that are committing around half the violent crime in this country. But when it happens, you don't cover it up or say it's okay. So people ask, do you agree with Nick Fuentes? I agree that compared to the extremism of the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, that is openly anti-Christian, anti-white, that what he's doing is healthy to get people to stop being politically correct and stop being bullied and stop feeling ashamed of being white. Because white people are under such attack because by demonizing whites, the globalists can demonize the idea of the West that is incompatible. So they literally say, you don't want a Second Amendment, that's a white man's thing. You don't want private property, that's a white man's thing. You don't want Western culture, that's a white man's thing. Because under Western culture, the globalist system of tyranny doesn't work. And the communists of the 50s and 60s learned, this has been declassified, they admitted it, they couldn't get black people to become communists. So instead they created liberation theology, the Ford Foundation, Carnegie Foundation, CIA, it's on record, declassified. To go, oh, make it racial to hate capitalism and free market and sovereignty and all this. So I think Nick Fuentes is very strong medicine, but you cannot deny that in the Groyper Wars and at TPUSA that Nick Fuentes predicted 6-7 years ago his movement would take over from inside TPUSA. It did. That is the main reason Charlie, who I love and is a great guy, really started going hard on Israel, was because his constituency demanded it. And when he went to the universities, it was happening. Now, this is quite the long intro. So then when Charlie Kirk gets executed 2 weeks ago today, instantly they blame Nick Fuentes and the Groypers for killing him with zero evidence. Then when there's zero evidence of that, 5 days later, no one buys it, but Bill Maher pushes it. Now Nick Fuentes works for Netanyahu and is covering up that Israel did it because he got the call. This is these are bots. Now, a lot of people that aren't part of the bots pick it up and push it, but I know a synthetic attack because I've been under a lot of them. Now, the question is, why do they try to frame Nick Fuentes before Charlie Kirk's body was even cold? Then when that didn't work, why did they go with, oh, he works for Israel? Because somebody wants to make it all about Israel. Not all roads lead to Israel. Like Nick said, you just hit that button, though. People are so awake. About 95% of the time it is that, but like sometimes it's not. And now we're moving into the zone of, it does look like a cover-up, then who stood to gain? And maybe Israel's there. You heard that Green Beret, really smart. No, the Democrats wanted him dead. He got 2.5 million people to vote Trump. They moved the needle and went from the tripled support in young males. It's Charlie Kirk and, you know, other things. So I'm looking for the reality. I want to be tomorrow's news today. I want to be accurate. I don't want to just jump on the first thing. I mean, if I came out and said Israel did it, I'd have 100 million, 500 million views a day. If I came out and said the security guard shoots him under the arm, billions of views. I'd also get my ass sued off. Plus, I'm going to lie about some dude. He has a cell phone under his arm. They hear the shot, he goes like that. You can't just run around and accept every cockamamie thing. You can't just believe Netanyahu was in a trap door, as Nick said, and shot him. Now, maybe Israel did. Maybe it comes out they did. I don't know. I think they're like the second suspect group if this turns out to be a cover-up after the Democrats. Then you can argue, well, maybe he was running for president and they were scared, so the Republicans got rid of him. Maybe there was a bunch of $500 million in the war chest and there was a battle over where that was. And, you know, I mean, you can go all day. You just can't. Nobody ever said that. You just can't say something without the proof, in my view. But we're entering that field house now, that wheeled house of, we have to speculate because where's the autopsy? They didn't have one, folks. They found the bullet. We better see it. 30-06 does not do that. Doesn't mean the coroner's lying. He's told us 30-06. So, not the coroner, the attending physician. So that's a big 10-minute intro. We got Nick to the end of the next hour, so we got plenty of time. That said, he goes, you're going to have a debate every time you don't do that. I do think it's mean what you've been saying, Nick, and I don't want to go there first, just putting it out there, about Erica Kirk, you know, it was a big production, and this is blah, blah, blah. That's what TPUSA did, was productions. This is what he would have wanted. I saw you admit that. This is, she's a performer herself. That's who they are. So the fact that they're putting a good face on this, you can even say, oh, the Republicans are being fake. Well, that revival was real. Realizing the left is evil was real. I mean, I think you went too far, you know, on that. But it's got to be weird to have first Daily Wire firing you because you wouldn't be flown to Israel and brainwashed, literally, was your nemesis. Then Kirk became your nemesis. You've been defeated both. But you've got to have the victor's, not even remorse, but kind of the victor's elegance to it. at this nexus point. So I'm not trying to be mean. I got a few of the things I disagree with you on. I see you coming around more and more on Trump, on the borders, he scales up. So there's a lot. I appreciate you putting up with a 10-minute intro. Nick Fuentes, you've got the floor here. You can find it with Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble, and it's good to have you here. And also, we're going to Trump, next level insane. Oh, Ukraine on invade Russia now. I mean, more than a 180. This is like a 1,080. This is cuckoo town. So we're going to get into that. Yeah, folks, the news didn't pick it up. You got to read a statement about maybe Ukraine will take all the land back and win and then get even more. So we're going to hit that. Nick Fuentes, thanks for being here. That's quite the introduction. You've got 15 minutes of the break. Go ahead.
Yes, well, thank you for having me. I think this is the first time we've spoken since Charlie Kirk was murdered. And of course, everybody's talking about who was actually responsible. And this is something that kind of has stuck out to me since it happened, is so much has been said about the significance of it and the, you know, the gravity of the moment and what it means for our country. And yet we still don't know all the answers. We don't know for a fact who pulled the trigger. We don't know for a fact who was the gunman. We don't know for a fact if there was a wider conspiracy. And so at the same time, we're being told what it all means and what it means for us and for the country and the right and the left. At the same time, we actually don't even know what it is. Where we're being told what it means, we don't know what it is. And I would say that there's been so many different theories about it as well. Of course, there is the official narrative, which is that the killer was a trans chaser. So he's apparently a gay man who was dating or had some kind of boyfriend who was a male to female transgender. And the going narrative is that he was basically some species of the left. We don't know if he's a liberal, Democrat, communist, socialist. We know maybe he's an ally of the LGBT. He inscribed on the bullets certain slogans associated with Reddit or the furry community. And we can surmise based on some of the text messages that have been shown to us, which there are some outstanding questions about those, that he killed Charlie Kirk because of his anti-LGBT politics. So we basically have a lone gunman theory. A lone gunman, 22 years old, clean record, no mental illness, no criminal background, gets his grandfather's rifle that was given to him, drives 3 hours to the venue, shoots this guy, one shot, one kill, gets away clean, turns himself in. That's the official narrative. But like you said then, and a lot of people were quick to sort of move past this, but I think this was really interesting. Within 48 hours of the killing, there was this, what I believe to be a top-down narrative. It came from the left, maybe from the Democrats, which said actually this was a far-right guy. And the inscriptions were not actually very clear about his political ideology, but actually they were ambiguous. They were vaguely referencing video games, vaguely referencing internet culture, and we really don't know. And then they started to say, well, he's a groiper. All of a sudden, you have these viral posts on Facebook and X that were talking about how I had this conflict with Charlie Kirk, and there was this major critique from the right wing, from Charlie Kirk's ideological right, you know, to his right. And so they said the shooter might have been a groiper. He was a video gamer, extremely online, political radical, but they say maybe he was of the right. And that was kind of the first big, quote unquote, conspiracy theory. Right out of the gate, we had the official narrative. We had this guy, Tyler Robinson, trans boyfriend, etc. And then within 48 hours, the first big conspiracy was he's some sort of groiper. And the reason I believe that was top down is because it was so saturated. And you said this earlier, you've been a subject of these attacks before, as have I. It's very apparent because of how quickly they achieve saturation. This theory was everywhere so quickly.
Well, it's very simple. An exact talking point explodes in 1,000 places in 1 second, then 10,000 5 seconds later, then 1,000,000 5 minutes later. It's boom.
Right. It's exponential. The growth of it is exponential, such that there was a poll released, I believe, on the Monday following the killing, and it said that 25-26% of Generation Z believe the killer was right wing. More young people believe the killer was right wing, a far right radical, than believed he was left wing. That's how effective it was. And that's
sure,
how
but
it
let's be clear. Let's be clear on this point. What you're saying is key, but it's not just exponential. When it first appears, when you know it's synthetic, they will push at 1,000 or more points instantly the exact same thing. That doesn't work that way, a script. So you know when it's staged because they put it out immediately in the first attack everywhere the same second. You know it's being pushed by bots. That's how we know.
Right. It was instantaneous. Exactly. And so you got to this point where a week later, it was even being parroted on Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel, of course, the reason that he was leaned on is because he said that the right wing was pretending that the killer was everything other than what he was, which was MAGA or far right. And that was really the first big thing. The second wave, of course, then came. And this was being pushed by Max Blumenthal on the Gray Zone, by Candace Owens, and perhaps by Tucker Carlson, I think significantly less so. But there was this insinuation, particularly from Blumenthal and Candace, that it was an Israeli conspiracy. And they centered on this meeting between Kirk and Bill Ackman in August, as well as apparently some kind of payment, some sort of bribe, which was offered to Kirk by the Israelis directly to effectively buy his silence. And these were basically the three theories. These are the three theories as they stand, is lone gunman, Groiper, and then some sort of Israeli conspiracy. And I, like you, want to get to the truth. I want to understand who killed Charlie Kirk. I want to understand if there was a conspiracy, who was involved. But I, like you, also start with the evidence. When you believe there's a conspiracy, when you believe there's a cover-up or something like that, you start with the facts. You start with the evidence. And the things to me that stood out as evidence that this was some kind of a plot or conspiracy had very little to do with foreign government and actually had to do with the forensics of the attack. Like you said, maybe the most damning thing is the bullet. If it's a 30-06 bullet caliber, this guy from relatively short range is being shot, you would expect that you would see a much more graphic video than what we saw. Like I watched your show about this. You've been, you shot hogs with this kind of caliber bullet. It goes right through them, one in one end, out the other. And this is a significant animal versus being shot in the neck, which is, of course, a much smaller cavity, by such a large bullet from an even shorter range. Why did we not see, and you know, we don't want to be insensitive about it, but why did we not see a lot more blood? Why did we not see an exit wound? Where did the bullet go?
Well, now, initially, it's not just a big bullet. It's a super magnum. It's going 2,500, 2,600 or faster. At 200 yards, it's still at maximum velocity. So you're talking explosive when it hits.
Size, velocity, exactly. Just none of the details are adding up. That caliber, that rifle, the velocity, the size, the range, but also then with the video we saw, it just doesn't really work. And people had questions about it. And to tell you the truth, I was skeptical because I'm not a ballistics expert, and I think a lot of people aren't. And I was willing to entertain, if the FBI had an explanation, I was willing to hear what that explanation was. Well, then we get Andrew Colvett, who comes out last week, and he says, based on evidence apparently that he received from the attending physician, from the surgeon, he says that he was authorized to say, and it was shared with him, that the bullet miraculously stopped because Charlie Kirk's bone density was so healthy and so strong that that it stopped the bullet in its tracks and prevented other people from dying. And, you know, that's where you got to pump the brakes and say, wait a second. Is that really the word choice we want to go with?
Magic bullet. Oh, that's when I pumped the brakes Saturdays when I went, okay, now we've got, and then TVUSA is calling me, their spokesperson, saying, well, let me give you the full story. But yeah, this Man of Steel thing, that's when I was like, whoa.
Right, because initially, I'm willing to believe, and I think it's true, that there are left-wing nut jobs that want to kill people like Charlie Kirk. It happens. There was a shooter at a Catholic church in Minneapolis a few weeks ago, another left-wing person.
A guy came to kill you this year and got killed by police an hour later.
Exactly. And so this is a problem. Luigi Mangione, this is something going on in the country. I'm willing to believe, if there's evidence that's the explanation. But when they come in and say Man of Steel, miracle, magic bullet, magic skeleton, that's where I got to say, hang on a second. Yeah, I know that doesn't make sense. So now I'm asking even more questions, actually. That's an answer that raises more questions than actually it answers. And the thing about this Andrew Colvett guy, and I don't know him personally. I've never met him, but Candace actually had a good point about this. A lot of people don't know. This is a PR guy. This is a public relations guy. That's what he does for Turning Point USA. That's actually what he did for a company called the Kairos Company. That's where he worked from 2014 to 2019 with Marissa Strait of Prager University, with one of these big reverends that's a Christian Zionist. That was a public relations firm. He represents himself as a fixer. He is a Christian Zionist pro-Israel fixer. And so if it's that guy, because I'll be super honest with you about how my thinking has been changing over time on this. When he first said that, my first thought was, why would Charlie Kirk's producer and best friend, why would he lie? What would be in it for someone like him to lie or cover it up? If this Man of Steel, Superman thing, if that's a cover up, why would someone so close to Kirk and friendly and working with him, why would he lie about it? But then you dig into his background and you find that this guy is a fixer. He's a PR guy for the Christian Zionists. He was actually there over Charlie Kirk's shoulder at the focus group after the SAS conference where Tucker spoke and Dave Smith debated Josh Hammer. It was Colvitt, the producer, who was hanging behind Kirk and saying, I think we could all agree that we talk about Israel a whole lot less. I think we could all agree that we don't want to talk about that anymore. And so it's things like that that actually just have to be answered. And I will say I'm glad Kash Patel, of course, came out a few days after that. And he listed all of these discrepancies. He talked about theories of different shooters and the bullet caliber and all these different things.
Which shows they know there's massive pressure.
Exactly. And I like that. I actually like that. It's good that there's pressure. It's good that people are on top of this asking questions. And I like that Kash Patel was specific about those questions. He didn't say, we're going to answer everything. There's more to come. He said, here are all of these specific questions we've been asked and we'll provide answers. And that just has to be forthcoming. We have to see the answers.
Well, let me bring this up to you. Let me bring this up. Where's the autopsy by law to murder you're supposed to do? When I checked the state law, it's state law there. It's everywhere. And where's the bullet that was found in the neck? I mean, now I'm...
That's the question. We need the bullet. Where is it? And we do need an autopsy. We need to know. And because people also have questions about how and where the bullet impacted, the shockwave in his shirt. You know, we're getting all these kinds of ad hoc explanations for these things. We need the official story from the people that saw the body, from the people that performed the autopsy. And that's the only reason. I know you said I was a little bit mean, but I do think there is this push to quickly take the tragedy and transmute it into political action. And I'm not ready to move on yet because, like I said, we're all being told this is what this means. Now, this is what we need to do. It was the left, and that's why we need to take these specific actions in response. I'm sitting here saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. Actually, we need to hold the phone now. We actually don't know exactly what's going on. We actually don't have all the answers on this. Before we're told what this means for us and what we need to do about it, let's stop and think what actually took place here and who's actually responsible. So I agree with you. I think we need to see the autopsy. We need to see the bullet. We need to get the answers from the FBI. I have been told, I've heard from people that claim to be on the ground, and I have some reason to believe them. They say that the reason that evidence may be withheld for the time being is they don't want to taint the jury pool. Because when the spokesman came out last week, he said something very specific. He said, in our country, the accused have Fifth and Sixth Amendment rights to a speedy trial, jury of their peers, etc. And so this is actually common. They're not going to put out all the evidence if it's especially damning, because they don't, in a very high profile, highly publicized case, they want to be able to pick a jury that's not biased and get a fair trial so they could get the guy convicted. So that could be a plausible explanation why they might be dragging their feet or slow walking some of the stuff. But as soon as they start to set that up and we get a jury and this is underway, all eyes need to be on the trial. What actually happened? What evidence is the state going to bring? Can they even convict the guy? Will they have enough evidence? They seem to be confident. The FBI, the local authorities seem to be confident they could do that. But of course, until we get that trial, until the state presents all the evidence they have, not in the media, but in the jury, in a jury trial, we're just not going to know. We can't have any confidence.
All right, so Nick, that's where I'm at with it. We got to go to break. Back in just a few minutes, I want to talk about the bigger effect of this assassination, the different political lay of the land. Then I want to shift gears into Trump's insane statements about Ukraine. Stay with us. And Nick Fuentes is our guest until 3 p.m. Central. in about an hour and 27 minutes from now. Then Harrison Smith hosts the War Room, 3 to 6 p.m. Be sure and join us for that. I'll probably be co-hosting with them because there's so much news breaking. Nick, going back to this and then just in general, TPUSA, I don't have many peers that I can, you know, other than like Trump or a few other people. I'm not saying I'm a peer with him, but I'm on a peer on this issue where there's a horrible event and instantly I'm blamed. I mean, when that Democrat employee of Tampon Tim up in Minnesota, Tim Walz, killed those government officials and their, you know, spouses and things, literally within 1 hour, the roommate's blaming me and Trump. So when it's a Democrat op like that, we're instantly the targets. And so if there was another shooter and the guy was just a patsy who was set up, and I think the evidence is starting to really build to that. I did a whole hour before he came on with a Green Beret and really smart guy about that. That's a consensus I'm getting from all these other Delta Force guys and people that are really smart and experts on this. Then we've got to ask who would kill Kirk. And clearly, you know, Israel does a lot of assassinations. He was having big fights with them. I can imagine they want to take it over, and a lot of those interests are coming in now. I just couldn't say it day one without evidence. I'm still not saying Israel did it. But then the Democrats, I mean, he was one of the main movers getting all these young males to vote Republican, and then now he's gone, and they're in those discords watching it. They could have piggybacked on that and some of their groups. And then how you instantly got blamed. And when that didn't work, they pivoted over to Israel as a talking point. To me, that's the main suspect, because that's the group calling for violence, pushing violence. It was a leftist came to try to kill you at your house, died in a shootout, wouldn't even hit the news. People said it was fake. You know, it was in the local paper. I mean, when they come to my house, I don't make a big deal about it. But, I mean, they knocked down Tucker Carlson's door. So you could say I'm prejudiced towards the fact. I mean, look at this today. You know, you've got a reported Antifa pro-trans shooter up in Dallas, so dumb he's shooting illegal aliens at the base and then supposedly kills himself. And then they've already released the shells with the anti-ICE stuff on it. Maybe that's a setup, too. I just don't see that level of that much corruption able to carry out this much. But maybe I'm wrong. But was Netanyahu behind all the other trans shooters? Was Netanyahu? You know. So looking at this, we have to start speculating now because it does look like a cover-up. Definitely, that was not a 30-odd-6 round that, you know, did that, from my view, this man of steel garbage. So you don't like to speculate, neither do I. But if we have to ask who had the greatest motive, who would the groups be?
I think that when you ask who benefits from the killing of Charlie Kirk, I would actually put Israel towards the bottom. When you look at if there's a series of different people, the reason I say that is because Charlie Kirk, as we know, was pro-Israel until the day that he was killed. And this is why it's a little bit puzzling to me. Like you said, I mean, a lot of people are now calling me a shill. They're saying I pivoted. I got the call from Netanyahu. They intimidated me into silence. The reason I say that is because right up until he died, my critique of Charlie Kirk is that he was too pro-Israel. And clearly there was an evolution going on. I think there's an evolution for everybody. I think everybody had in common on our side, whether it's J.D. Vance, you, me, Tucker, Charlie, everybody was talking about how Israel is driving us into a war with Iran and that their conflict in Gaza is overkill. I think that was sort of the consensus. And so the idea that they moved to take out Charlie Kirk because he, like everybody, was maybe having some second thoughts or maybe some doubts about very specific things. He wasn't anti-Jewish. He wasn't anti-Israel. He wasn't moving in that direction. He had doubts about specific things. To me, I find that very hard to believe. So in terms of who benefits, I think that Israel's maybe the least likely. And I would say that because Charlie Kirk might have been one of their few remaining true allies. I don't know that Israel would count Tucker Carlson or Candace Owens or you or me or so many people as better allies than him. I think he was pretty reliable and pretty solid. I think there is a credible angle, like you said, that who else might have wanted him dead? Well, people on the left. And I think that that was probably what motivated the Ryan Ruth character, who was just found guilty the other day. He was out there at Mar-a-Lago a year ago, as was Thomas Crooks, who took the shot against Trump last year. There were people last year that said that there might have been an Israeli conspiracy when Trump was shot in the ear. I asked the same question. Why exactly would they want him taken out when he was taking money from Miriam Adelson, when he was promising at that time to go to war with Iran, among other things?
Well, let me ask you this, and you keep going your train of thought. This is a key point. Clearly synthetic, immediate, instant attack on you within hours. That should tell us who was behind it or who'd piggyback to try to who would want to blame you? I mean, how does that feel within hours? I've never had it this bad to literally be blamed everywhere. Then have Bill Maher do it. Everybody else. Why would they target you immediately? Who would do that? A, and then B, who would target you and then push the story that you secretly work for Israel?
I think a lot of that stuff was coming from the left, to tell you the truth. I mean, I saw a lot of these synthetic posts accusing me of covering up for Israel. It was coming from a lot of far left groups like the American Communist Party with Jackson Hinkle. It was all those types of accounts. And what would be their benefit in accusing someone like myself of covering up for Israel? It's maybe to divert attention away from the radical left wing theory. If the guy is a left winger, if the killer is a left winger, the left obviously wants to divert attention away from that. They want to deflect it. So what do? They blame the radical right. And then when it turns out it's not the radical right, well, then they say it's Israel. And the radical right's covering up for Israel if they blame the left.
Exactly. So, the bots are pushing us away from Soros and the left, who have the main motive. My gut, everything lined up, I'm not sure, but if it turns out there was help and it's starting to look like that, then it goes to the establishment left.
I think so. And I would also say, though, at the same time, you know who else benefits from all this immensely? It is the GOP. It just is. And you saw it in this memorial on Sunday. This was my critique of it. The real beneficiary of this entire thing is how the GOP is going to get to spin it. And they're going to say that this constitutes a new great awakening. This is the revival of conservatism.
I was going to go there. I was going to say that. And nobody said this yet. We're saying it. And I'm not saying this happened, but if you want to really war game stuff, it goes DNC, RNC, and then just chaos agents that want civil war, CCP, and then you've got Israel under that.
I think that's apropos. And I think that because right after this assassination, we're now hearing that there's a declaration of war against the radical left, NGOs. And on some level, I agree with some of it. I think that the people who celebrated his death, I think they should lose their jobs. But then Pam Bondi got on TV and said, we need hate speech legislation. And those are two different things. And now all of a sudden they're talking about.
But now you're maybe talking Israel. That's literally the ADL's main mission.
And Pam Bondi is extremely pro-Israel. That's, she comes from Florida and, you know, we're with Ron DeSantis and all those guys. So, you know, of course, there is a tight overlap between the Israel lobby and the GOP. So you wonder, is the tail wagging the dog, or in what direction is it coming from? But I almost wonder if it's some sort of GOP operation, because again, who was Charlie Kirk? I don't necessarily think he was an Israeli spy in the same vein as a Ben Shapiro. I think he was pro-Israel, but I think he was pro-Israel incidentally because he's a GOP advocate, let's say a GOP lieutenant. He was principally a party man for the GOP. And when the kind of ideology of the GOP was against Israel's interest, he tended to defy Israel. When Israel's pushing us into war with Iran, he was chafing at the Israel lobby's interest. So clearly there's a difference between Kirk and Shapiro, as evidenced even by their final interview where Kirk was sort of asking him some tough questions. So if Kirk is like a party man, who is he? He's a GOP party man. He's a bag man. He manages money. People were saying he might be on a presidential ticket, maybe in 28, maybe in 32, maybe with Don Jr. He's obviously super powerful there. Is it possible that he was maybe taken out as maybe competition and then becomes a martyr to empower the people that took him out?
Okay, well, I haven't said this on air. I hinted it last week. I've heard that from very credible people. They're not sure, but they said Democrats top, RNC next, Chi-Coms or some chaos group below that. If the story doesn't add up, but now it doesn't. So let's talk about that. you say we haven't talked since he was killed. We have talked on the phone the day it happened, and then a text a lot. Do you remember a few months ago I called you and I said, Nick, you need to be very careful because you're moving the needle so much politically that there's a lot of different forces in their calculations that are going to come after you. And I also, who else did I say? I said, you and Charlie Kirk, you remember that conversation?
I do. I remember it well. And you said that, you said, this is the NFL now. You said, and this is serious. And you said, they're coming for us. I mean, you basically predicted it. You don't get enough credit. You predict a lot of stuff on your show. It's off the show. It's the same deal.
But let's be clear. I was simply saying, I've done this long-term, expose the overall systems so people can make their own decisions. Long game, you know, whatever. But I said, you and Charlie are the most prominent people. You got this battle, basically already took over his organization intellectually. And I said, because it's got $500 million in the bank, because the RNC is jealous of him, I didn't say specific, remember what I said, the RNC and Kirk. And I said, you got to worry about the Democrats. But I said, he's got to worry about the RNC. So it's funny when I'm just being behind the scenes. I'm always honest on air, but I don't want to like say things without all my proof. Behind the scenes, I'll just really say what I'm thinking. And I'm not trying to say this, what you just said, but I just want people to know that there's that. And yeah, and so and everybody that criticizes us, we're actually on the field, folks, gladiators in war. People can sit there, not against them, the economy shot in your mom's basement, how you do better and all this. Just understand, we're risking our lives. And I'm not bitching or whining. I'm not a victim. Just understand, we're in the arena. We're actual gladiators here. This is not, for us, this isn't a game. This is life and death situation. And I just wanted to tell you, because gut level, looking at all of it, I said, Nick, and I never called you a drama queen, stuff like that. I just said, listen, you and Charlie Kirk, I just feel in the ether, both of you guys are at the very top of the future. They want to control that future. They're worried about your trajectory. And I didn't say what your trajectory should be. I said, I don't know. I just said, you got a lot of power. And I didn't realize how much power I had like 15, 16 years ago or 10 years ago. That's why I had the foundations and the agencies coming after me and trying to buy me off and all the rest of it. And I didn't realize my reach then. So you tend to, and I know this, underestimate it. I'm just saying, with great power comes great responsibility. And I'm not saying what you should do. I didn't tell you what you should do. I didn't say moderate anything. I just said, you need to understand, I said, you're not just in the NFL now. You're on one of the main teams, a quarterback. So I'm just saying, you realize now the level you're at, right?
I do. Well, and obviously, based on what happened to Kirk, I think everybody realizes how serious it is. That's when it got real for everybody, for you, me, everybody in this whole thing, whatever is going on, because it's a very confusing time. And you're right. I mean, you called me up and you said like this. You said these people are gangsters, man. That's what you said. You said these people are gangsters. This is a dangerous game. You said you got a lot of power. And like you said, it is about the future. So, you know, you were 100% on the money. And it's crazy you said that almost exactly like a week before it happened. You know, the timing was very prescient in that way. And obviously things are changing very rapidly. I said this on Twitter the other day. I said, this is the eighth front in Israel's war. But we're also in the middle of World War III. We're in this war with Ukraine. We're in this war in the Middle East. This multipolar moment. You've got the solvency crisis, the sovereign debt crisis with the United States. This is one of those world historical inflection points, like in 1917, like in 1945, like in 1989. This is like an historical inflection point. And whenever that happens, there's a lot of these forces that intervene to try to control the next phase of history.
I agree.
And whenever that happens,
it's a mega turning. It's all three of those dates combined. You know, it's 45 and 19. You know, it's all of it combined in a mega spasm right now.
I absolutely agree. I think you're right. It's maybe the biggest one yet. And whenever it's like an earthquake, it's literally tectonic plates shifting. And it's that destabilization, which is what causes the kinds of things you're seeing domestically, internationally. The whole thing is destabilizing. The whole thing is coming apart and people are trying to hang on for dear life. I think that's one of the reasons it makes it so confusing. We're in kind of these days of lead now. Trump getting shot, CEOs getting shot, Charlie Kirk gets shot. That by itself,
people coming
make
to your house
ask.
To kill you. I keep bringing that up. Don't you love how almost no one defended you when that guy came to kill you and then died in a shootout with police? Minutes. I mean,
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, the way they covered that up, they covered it up the day it happened. The media reported it. They said Nick Fuentes allegedly claims it's on video. He got shot in my alley by the cops.
He comes and bang on your door with a gun. I'm going to kill you in a motorcycle helmet. He dies in a shootout with the cops behind your house, and no one covered it.
No one covered it. No one said anything, and you wonder even what was going on with that, because we never even got any answers. And I'm glad you bring it up. I almost forget about it because it wasn't successful. You know, it wasn't a successful attempt. So then for that reason, it kind of fades into the distance.
He's got a 9mm.
And he's banging on the door saying, "Hey, Nick, hey, Nick." And you're right. Nobody covered that at all.
Well, but I did.
Yeah. And I appreciated that.
No, you did. You're coming for me too, buddy.
Yeah, we got to look out for each other, but it should be considered part of this trend, because that is the disturbing trend line. And I feel like a lot of this stuff, they sort of count on it getting memory hold. Trump got shot. Then you had another guy come to Mar-a-Lago. Someone came to my house, Luigi Mangione. You also have all these school shootings. You also have these school shootings in Wisconsin and Tennessee and the Catholic Church in Minneapolis. And all these are extremely strange. They're very online people. There was a school shooting the same day that Charlie Kirk was killed in Denver, Colorado. Some kid obsessed with school shooters, 16 years old, came to school, shot and killed two people.
Shot up in Texas the last month.
Exactly right. One today. And they shot all illegal immigrants. And then they pull out the bullet casing and they wrote with it with magic marker, blue pen. They said anti-ICE. Was those instructions from the FBI of what to engrave, or did the guy write it himself? Oh, this is an anti-ICE shooting. Let's mark it down in pen. This is an anti-ICE false flag. Like, so something weird is going on here. And that's kind of the feeling I just can't shake. All the lies, the fake conspiracy theories, the real conspiracy theories, the violence. I just can't shake the feeling that something really strange is happening. And I don't even know that we're even approaching understanding what it is. That's what kind of scares
me. Something big and bad is about to happen. And it's all about the old monetary system dying. It's all about all these points coming together in a crescendo right now.
That's right. It's the confluence of all of these different things. You're so on the money, no pun intended, with the monetary system, the multipolar moment, Ukraine war, simultaneous with the Israel, fighting for power, this Trump government that's been thrust in there. Something big is happening. And I agree with you. Something big is coming. Like, it's not hard to see. This is like when all the birds start flying away and the dogs start barking. It's like you see enough of this random acts of violence.
Start coming out of their holes and turtles start running to high ground.
The worms are coming out of the ground. Yeah, this is like running for the hills. Like, and I'm not that guy. I mean, we've known each other a long time. I've never been that guy.
It was about 2 weeks before Charlie got killed. I said, I can feel it. I can see it. I don't know. I just said, they're coming to kill you. They're coming to kill Charlie Kirk. I said, these are gangsters. And I just out of the ether.
We got a gut level feeling, but it's real. I mean, there is a real, I do believe in that. There is an instinctual thing about this.
I don't just call you up randomly. We might talk like once a month. I'm not like drama queening people. I don't just call up and say stuff. Did I ever call you before? We've been talking like 9 years. Did I ever just call and say something like that before?
No, never. Never. It was, like you said, this is something we're dialed in.
And I told you, I said, instinct. You need to cancel your events. I'm not saying cut and run. I said, Nick, they're coming.
You did. And you were right. Something's coming. I'm with you. And I'm worried about the next shoe to drop.
Maybe not one big thing. It's a bunch of big things and they all feel bad. What are they?
I think there's going to be more political violence. That's the most obvious thing is copycats. If this was real, if this was fake, it doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter, but it doesn't matter in the sense that other psychos are going to look at this 100%. On either side, and they're going to be inscribing stuff in the bullets, and people are going to be taking shots. And you could see it's becoming more frequent. We've been talking about this for like the last year and a half. You and me, every time we do a discussion, we say Luigi Mangione is a harbinger of things to come. There's going to be left-wing violence, drone attacks, assassinations. They're going to try stuff. It's coming. And it's increasing in frequency. It is, by definition, a crescendo because we're just getting it more at a quicker pace. And I think it is building towards maybe something big, maybe a big false flag. That's kind of,
let me throw this up over again. The Podesta plan, cause a race war, trigger all this to drive Trump from, you know, all these plans. Is the Trump admin doing stuff to pre-trigger it before to stop their uprising? I'm not saying that's the case, but 100% here that this lays the ground to now false flag a traditionally black college, which they closed, saying Kirk supporters threatened, or the shooting up, as I've been saying, of a bunch of migrants to then be blamed on Trump supporters and trigger the Civil War. And then go to your point, sorry.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They are priming the pump. I mean, we're sitting on a powder keg for that reason. After Charlie Kirk died, it's not all hunky-dory. Everybody went to that memorial and said, oh, you know, we're choosing faith and forgiveness and all this kind of stuff. They don't realize racially, ideologically, religiously, this is like a powder keg situation. And all it's going to take is one nut job, one psycho, an agent provocateur. Like you said, is it going to be an ICE thing? Is it going to be a black-white thing with the Irina Zarutska killing just a week before Charlie Kirk died? What exactly kind of shape is it going to take? On some level, it doesn't matter. It has the potential to trigger something extremely volatile. And the two things where I was going to go with it is, in May, just before the Iran war started with Israel, you remember the think tank came out and said it's our knee-jerk response to call things a false flag. Then, after the ICE riots, Trump assembles this emergency response National Guard force in the East Coast and on the West Coast, a rapid deployment force in the event of riots. You got this National Guard coming to city after city. It's like, it feels like the storm clouds are rolling in, and maybe there's they're anticipating something that the general public is not, but
another hour coming up, and I want you to be very slow because I forgot about that. That's why these brainstorms are good. Didn't they even attack you and others? You have these big think tanks coming out tied to Israel saying we've got to pre-demonize anybody that says false flag when these big terror attacks come. We've got to be ready to censor for the false flag. Remind me of the group because I'm having a senile moment here.
I don't remember the name of it. It's an obscure group. It's an obscure cutout of, it was related to the ADL. It's the same group that demonized Christ.
It's ADL. Yeah, yeah. We'll look that up in the break. Yeah, they were saying we got to get ahead of the false flag narrative when the attacks come. And we were like, that's the pre-programming you and I said on the show 2 months ago. That's what's telling you is coming. We got to get ahead of false flags when the attacks happen. Well, you're telling us what you're doing here.
Exactly. They write in the report, well, hey, if anybody says there's a false flag in 2 weeks, don't believe them. That's not real. It's like, okay.
Well, they said we got to have our censorship bots ready to suppress that.
Right, right.
So it's like a Hunter Biden laptop suppression. Like, you're going to suppress us saying it's a false flag ahead of it coming? You're telling us.
Right, right. It's predictive programming in that way. So I don't like it. I don't like what they're saying in the think tanks. I don't like what law enforcement's been saying.
There it is, the Institute for Strategic Dialogue. Stay there. Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble, on X. And where else should people find your show? It's weeknights, usually around 10 o'clock at night.
Yes. Yeah. Monday through Friday, Rumble and X and Telegram. I'm on all three.
All right. I'm going to go to break. Back in 2 minutes. By the way, folks, I haven't spent time on us today. We got DOJ investigations. The DOJ ran the lawsuits. It was all fake. They did a bunch of stuff. More is about to drop. I'll leave it at that. We got a bunch of stuff you don't know about. It's going to blow you away. We caught them red-handed. We have whistleblowers. We have it all. And I'm winning, but I'm literally maxed out here. I need you to go to thealexjonesstore.com and get a Patriot t-shirt. You're insane. Our bovine colostrum is the superfood of superfoods for your hair, your skin, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of milk out of a cow. We have the best private labeled. It's insane. We now have highest quality micro creatine, a very special patented process from a top company that lets us private label it. It's the top rated creatine in the world. We have it right now, only for VIP members. This is a limited supply at thealexjonesstore.com. And there is so much more. But I need your support. I'm literally risking my life to get this information out. That's why you should support it. Plus, the products are insanely good. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Back in 2 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, they got a bunch of organic brainwashed leftists out engaged in all sorts of crime and murder. That's a fact that's going on. But can you piggyback on top of these discords and six trannies saying he'll be dead tomorrow? And then, oh, see, we told you. Clearly, they had them out there, bare minimum, as a cover story to piggyback and kill him. The question is, who did it? 30-odd six didn't do it. I don't think the surgeon's lying. He was told that's it. told it goes through, goes down, bounces back up. They have the bullet. Where is it? There's not going to be an autopsy. They would have said there was an autopsy. That right there is a cover-up when you study medical examiners. This is a shorter segment, Nick. I want to get into Russia and Ukraine. I know you want to. And Trump's horrible statement yesterday. And again, I just call balls and strikes. That's coming up. I then want to just get into, you know, general issues of the country, the world, and you know, things that are happening and how people can prepare themselves for all that's happening, the AI coming out. But putting bookends on this, if they don't release, which I believe that no autopsy was done, we'd have heard about it, and the bullet, then we know there's a cover-up. What do you see that doing? Because they're going to keep Kirk out there. He was super popular. The RNC's kind of coming in and taking over. And then this is not going to go away. This is going to turn into a whole new Epstein thing.
Yeah, I don't see people letting go. I think that people are going to stay on top of this. And it's kind of curious because they are going to have their cake and eat it too. The GOP is using Charlie Kirk's death with the memorial and everything else to justify their pre-existing agenda. I saw J.D. Vance jump in front of it. They did this big memorial. They're going to use it in the midterm elections. They're going to use it for the hate speech or whatever other sort of agenda they have. And at the same time, it seems that a significant portion of their base doesn't even believe the narrative and thinks that Charlie Kirk was some sort of martyr for Israel, which of course, rather a martyr against Israel, which of course Israel is deeply in bed with the GOP, which is exploiting the death. So it's a very weird kind of triangulation there. And it's weird how both of these things seem to be true at the same time. It's like they exist in superposition. Half the country believes, or half the right wing believes, it was a left-wing nut job, and that's why we have to crush Antifa and arrest everybody and ban hate speech and ban Jimmy Kimmel. And the other half of the base says that he was a martyr going down for America first against Israel. And, well, who would be involved in the cover-up? It's Kash Patel. It's the Trump administration, which is now using it. So I wonder how this will reflect in the midterms. I wonder how this will express itself in GOP politics in the coming months, in the next couple of years. And I'm going to wait and I'm going to reserve complete judgment until we see the actual trial. I wonder if after they pick the jury and they actually hold the trial with the accused, I wonder if we're going to get some answers. But I think that in the meantime, they need to reassure the public and answer some of the basic stuff. Who are these out-of-state license plates that were at Tyler Robinson's house the day before? Where's the exit wound? Where's the bullet? What's going on with that? They need to start providing at least some of these basic answers. Otherwise, I don't know how they're ever going to recover. I don't know how anyone can trust this administration. And, you know, not for nothing, but you pointed out with Epstein, it is very interesting how this is the same Department of Justice that put out that memo saying there's no Epstein black book. There's no client list. There's nothing to see there. This is the same DOJ. This is the same FBI that we're supposed to say now. They're going to tell us the truth 100%. They don't engage in cover-ups. They just got done covering up the previous cover-up with this cover-up. So I don't know where we go from here, but I think people need to be very skeptical of what we see coming out of this Trump government in the next few months, especially in the name of Charlie Kirk, because I don't trust it one bit. That's what I see coming in the next few months.
Either. Back in 60 seconds with Nick Fuentes. Stay with us and share the live feeds from Rumble, the Alex Jones Channel. Well, one of the best parts of seeing the corporate media establishment that's been irrelevant for many years totally collapse in on itself, and to see censorship fails, we get to see all of the amazing minds and ideas. And some of it I disagree with, and a lot of it I agree with Nick. But the point is, this is the real animating contest of liberty. This is what happens when the stagnation gets shut down and you just get a chance for free thought to happen. It is exciting and people resonate with it. Now, Nick, let's talk about this. You're, I would say, generally black-pilled. You can disagree with that. I look at things and say, on the economy, on the border, and previously with war, trying to stop it, and standing up to the UNs, getting out of the carbon taxes, RFK Jr., going after all the poison shots, the Tylenol. I mean, they're banning the stuff. It's amazing. And I'm on cloud nine saying, oh, you black-pilled people, you know, you're full of crap. And I was thinking of you, and I said, I'm going to tear into Fuentes tomorrow and say, look how you sit there and you bitch and you complain about the problems, but you're not cheerleading enough for the good. Would you rather Kamala in there? And then the last hour of the show, they come in and they go, there's clips of Trump. Here's what he said. And, oh, Ukraine can win, and you can get all your territory back, and this is going to be great, and we're going to get all the weapons, and, to, you know, NATO doing a 180. And I was like, this is terrible. And then I didn't read his Truth Social. I just saw it and saw the top because it said what the news said. So I thought, oh, I wasn't lazy. I was busy. I didn't read the whole thing. There it is on screen. He goes, oh, you're going to win. It's great. Russia's going to collapse. NATO needs to move in, which is Putin's red line. And who knows, you'll probably take over Russia. When you read that quote about maybe even more, go further than that. Zelensky has said, we're going to go into Moscow. The head of the EU has said, their economic ministers, it's a 20, 30 year war. It'll be conventional. It'll collapse Russia if it takes 20, 30 years. And then we'll divide it up in five parts. That's the declaration of war on Russia and NATO. We put the maps up since 91, moving all the way around them, moving hypersonic missiles up at their borders, firing them in. They can be nuclear tipped any minute. That's what Putin said. We fire five of them at a time, we won't nuke you. But if we see hundreds of major aeronautics, if they, we believe it's a nuclear sneak attack, we're going to hit you. So on the threat escalation ladder, for those that don't study the RAND Corporation and Pentagon War Games and others, this is way more dangerous than the Cuban Missile Crisis, previously seen by experts as the worst, most dangerous point minutes to midnight. We're now 30 seconds to midnight. Even the International Atomic, you know, Scientist Group says this is a close ever. I don't just believe them. I am an expert. I'm into this since I was a kid. I mean, I've had family involved in, you know, nuclear weapons and forward and rear, and you know, I grew up learning about it. And so, you know, my dad's uncle ran Nike missile batteries in Turkey, and that's why the Russians put medium-range ballistic missiles into Cuba. And that got declassified about 20 years ago. I'm like 6-7 years old, and I'm sitting there listening to Pat Lynn around the table while they're playing dominoes, drinking whiskey at midnight, talking about, you know, this is secret, but I, you know, ran, you know, he was on record. He was a Nike missile instructor and did all that. So I've set knee-high to a grasshopper on this. This is so close, ladies and gentlemen. And you read this from Trump, this is sickening. And I understand it's his art of the deal, and Russia knows NATO's not going to stop, so Russia's winning, got all these cities and towns. They don't want the whole thing. They want a buffer zone. So, but now NATO wants to go in. Now Trump's backing NATO with a 250,000 man and woman army. Conscription's being brought back, including women. I mean, this doesn't smell of Armageddon. This is Armageddon. Remember 2 years ago, Biden, we can't send in F-16s and Abrams. That goes up the escalation ladder to World War III. We're way past that now. So we're about to see a new Operation Spiderweb 4,000 miles into Russia blowing up their bombers. I mean, this is not flirting. This is asking for nuclear war, Nick. So I was going to people want to fight and it'll look good. And I think Nick's wrong. And I was like, oh, this is a celebration. And damn it, look what we're doing. And all that good Trump's doing doesn't matter if he acts like this. What the hell is this, Nick?
It's unbelievable. He actually said they're going to retake all the territory, which is a complete reversal. I mean, to your credit, it was defensible, I think, maybe right up until the middle of August, when Trump and Putin had that meeting in Alaska, and it seemed that there might have been some possibility of a peace agreement or a ceasefire or something like that. And at that meeting in August, Trump said Ukraine may have to give up some territory, like it looked like. And by the way, that was their position this entire year. The entire year, for the past 9 months of the Trump administration, they were trying to compel Ukraine and Europe to give up territorial concessions. In other words, to freeze the battle line, let Russia have the Donbass, let them have Zaporizhzhia, let them have Kharkiv, and we were just going to call it quits and say, stop the killing. That was the position of the State Department. That was the position of the White House.
Stop criticizing Trump. He's cutting off the weapons. He's making him do a deal. But now he just blew all that up.
It's a complete reversal. It's a complete 180. And now he's saying the exact opposite of what he's been saying the whole year, which is
he's gone from what, 5 months ago, publicly spanking Zelensky in the Oval Office to, I'm sorry, giving him a blowjob on television.
Yeah, people forget about that. But I mean, he did literally drag Zelensky in there. Oh, wow. Thanks for dressing up. I have all the cards. How dare you? And now he has one meeting with him at the General Assembly the other day and says, we're going to help you get back all the territory. How is that going to happen? Ukraine has no soldiers. They can't get people to show up. You got 100,000 deserters. The front line is like Swiss cheese. They have drones and maybe in some places two or three people defending miles and miles of the front line. And they're saying now they're going to fight back for every inch, every square mile of Russian territory. How's that even going to happen? And what went under the radar, by the way, not only did Trump say, excuse me, that we're going to take back all the territory and we're going to push Russia back, but he also said in the press conference that NATO countries should shoot down Russian jets. Did you catch that? There's been these alleged violations of Polish and Estonian airspace by what they say are Russian drones and by Russian jets. And so there's been this invocation of Article 4 of NATO, where they have this consultation about the security threat. They say that there were drones coming into Poland. We didn't know if they're decoys. Were they launched from Ukraine, Belarus? And what even are they?
And Estonia, now then they Trump said, is doing submarine nuke launched test for the Russians. U.S. Navy carried out four missile tests, unarmed Trident II D5LE missiles that carry hydrogen bombs, launched from nuclear-capable Ohio-class sub off the east coast of Florida, estimated range 8,500 kilometers. This is bad.
And this is after they parked two submarines on either side of the Russian coast when they're threatening nuclear war last month. It's horrible. And I think this administration, the deep state, they want a hot war with Russia. That's obviously where this is going. They recognize that Russia is winning. Russia is unstoppable. They're going to break the Ukrainian line. That is inevitable because Ukraine just doesn't have the manpower.
And well, they've already broken it. So that's the bad feeling, first and foremost, we're feeling. It's hiding in plain view. We are barreling into total war.
We're barreling into a hot war with Russia, where the United States and NATO are shooting at the Russians because they know that's the only way to stop them. And what does that look like? This is going to be the first great power conflict, nuclear conflict between nuclear armed states since the invention of nuclear weapons. I don't think anyone has any idea how or where this is going to go or how quickly. And of course, this is happening simultaneously with every other war that we're getting into. Regime change in Venezuela, regime change in Iran. Now this. So we were promised no new wars. That was the whole premise last year. We were promised that, you know, the Ukraine war was an anomaly because of Biden's mental health and that it was the people around him, the State Department, the National Endowment for Democracy pushing this stuff. Now it seems like Trump is literally just picking up where Biden left off. This is carrying on, and it's maybe even worse.
Like, what do you think the change was? What do you think the change was?
I think that Trump legitimately thought that he could bring the war to an end. And I think maybe on some level, the State Department welcomed Trump in because it let them change their demands. Because under the Biden administration, they said, we're going to take back everything. Russia's a war criminal, et cetera. And I think they let Trump come in because Trump's message was more conciliatory. Trump said, well, we'll let you keep what you have. Let's just stop the war. And so it was a different appeal and different demands. And Putin was not going for that because Putin doesn't trust us. He knows that the second there's a ceasefire, we're just going to load up Ukraine with weapons. They're going to fortify the front line and the war is going to start again. So Putin wasn't going for it. I think now they realize there's just no way that Russia's going to stop. The Ukraine can't stop them. They won't agree to stop.
No, you're so exactly right, because Russia knows it's all about NATO. And now Trump said, yeah, NATO should come in and basically take over. That's the red line. So Russia's not blinking. And so now I guess Trump says, hey, he said, good luck, though. Like, oh, you're going to take over Russia. Maybe it's sarcasm. Yeah, Zelensky, you're really great. You're going to win. We'll sell you weapons. But goodbye, have fun in your war. Then we should leave NATO so we don't get nuked in this.
Right. And I don't like the glibness. You know, good law. That's sort of the problem. We don't even really know where he stands on this. We're not actually getting, say what you will about the Biden administration. We knew the white paper. We knew the official policy of the U.S. government. to an extent, you can say that what Trump is doing is gunboat diplomacy, like you said, art of the deal. It's all negotiating. They're playing games with nuclear war. I don't like that. It's one thing when you're doing brinksmanship with North Korea. It's a totally different thing when you're doing whatever this is with Russia. So I don't know, but 50
submarines off our coast. By the way, when Trump said, "I've sent two," we got like 30 subs off their coast, maybe more. But yeah, the point is, he told them, "I got subs ready to nuke you." The subs are all with the triggers off, aimed at each other forever. I mean, it's just, it's insane. And you got Lindsey Graham literally having orgasms on TV that now we're about to bomb Russia. Now we're giving the heavy weapons to them. We'll get to that in a moment. I mean, this is cuckoo town.
It is, and this is just not what anybody voted for. I, of course, didn't vote for Trump. I didn't vote for this because I sort of saw this coming. But look, the people that did vote for Trump.
Well, you predicted he'd do the Iran thing, but did you think he'd do this on Russia? I didn't.
No, not to this extent. I said in December, I said, I think people are going to be surprised that Trump will have to escalate before even attempting to de-escalate. I said, there's no way Trump is going to accept a loss right out of the gate. But I had no idea they were going to push it this far. This is more extreme than Biden. And it's deja vu all over again because, you know, you remember in the first term, Obama really started this with Euromaidan in 2014, and they supported Ukraine against the secession, the Donbass war, before Russia got directly involved or officially involved. When Trump got in the first term, he was sending Ukraine lethal aid. He was arming Ukraine, and Ukraine was buying drones, and they were getting actual weapons from America.
Well, he sent them a bunch of anti-aircraft. Like deja vu. He sent them thousands of anti-tank and anti-aircraft missiles.
Exactly. So that he escalated from Obama in the first term, and now he's escalating from Biden in the second term. And yeah, nobody voted for nuclear war. Nobody voted for war with Russia. And this was maybe like one of the big things, if not the biggest thing, next to immigration, why we needed Trump in some sense. I know there were, it was very contentious whether to support Trump or not for me on my show. I would say at the minimum, the two reasons that you would make the case to vote for him that were undeniable were the war in Ukraine and immigration. And there's maybe an argument to be made about immigration, but this is just a catastrophe of epic proportions.
Well, let's expand on that. I think you nailed it. That's what I've been thinking. Let's just put clear touch to this. Trump literally thought he could end this. He thought Russia would make a deal. Russia knows it's winning. Plus, they don't trust NATO. There's a bunch of double dealing. And so he will not feel like he's lost. So if Russia won't do the deal he wants, then he's going to give Europe what they want, a green light for war. Also, he can be the King Kong gorilla. And that is stupid.
It is stupid. It's reckless. It's reckless and it's dangerous. And, you know, we didn't vote for this. And, you know, he said last year, I'm going to have it solved in 24 hours. That was the promise. He said, I'll have it solved before I even get inaugurated, between the election and the inauguration. And you're exactly right. He came in thinking that it was going to be art of the deal. You know, when Obama said, what magic wand do you have? You know, Trump thought he was going to wave the wand, the war would be over. And on some level, there is an element of ego in this. I think you kind of said that in what you just said a moment ago. Trump knows that if he cut the deal that Putin is willing to make, then this is going to be a loss. This is going to be called out on the ledger as a loss for America, as a loss for Trump. And I think there's something about him. He's unwilling to accept that. Because what you would do if you wanted to end the war is cut the aid to Ukraine. Ukraine can't fight this war alone. And Europe can't fight the war on behalf of Ukraine.
Pull out of NATO.
Exactly. Pull us out. Because Ukraine knows, and Europe knows too, they can only play these games when they can count on America to come in and bail them out. Europe and Ukraine combined cannot fight Russia. So all this big talk, all of them, you know, assembling at the White House and demanding that Trump give security guarantees, that is with the expectation that we will bail them out if shit hits the fan, you know, if things got out of control. So if you want to end the war, you cut off Ukraine, you pull out of NATO, good luck. You know, that's good luck. And then Ukraine is forced to deal on Russia's terms. Then they have to agree to give up what they've lost. Then they have to agree to whatever Russia demands, and you get an end to the war.
People that aren't that bright, most of our listeners are, but I want to explain something. War is the most studied thing there is in history, okay? Maybe other than medicine. there's a threat escalation ladder. The Chinese study it, the Russians, the French, the U.S., all their war games are the same. Now they have AI. This all leads to nuclear war if people keep escalating and don't make a deal with all these weapons. Lindsey Graham knows that and now says we're going to total war and starts biting his lip like he's having an orgasm. This is satanic. This is the ghost of John McCain. This is crazy. And it's not part of the deal. You can do that in business. War is when business is broken down and all the other means have failed. And so, I mean, I'm ready to get on an airplane. I could meet with Trump if I wanted to, but not if he hears I want to disagree. If he wants to pat me on the head, I can go have dinner with him. But, I mean, I'm ready to go bullhorn the White House over this. I mean, this is insane. And I love all the good stuff he's doing, but if we have a nuclear war, none of that matters. Here's Lindsey Graham literally having orgasms on television as he prepares to start Armageddon.
Trump 2028. I hope this never ends. When he asks, what should you do if a Russian jet flies into your country? Shoot it down. He's tried to go out of his way to get Putin to the table. We don't want to humiliate Russia. We just want to end the war. And to our friends in Russia, here's what Trump did today. He told NATO, I'll sell you all the weapons you want. You can provide them to Ukraine. And as to Ukraine, you can use them any way you want. So to the Russian military, you're going to be up against the high-end American weapons that will be sold to NATO for the benefit of Ukraine. And this war is coming to your backyard here. With no limitations like Biden.
So 4 years ago, before the escalation happened, the official war was already happening, Putin said, if you sell long-range heavy weapons, any country selling them will be seen as an enemy, will be targeted, which is legitimate. I mean, if Russia was selling Mexico 2,000-pound hypersonic cruise missiles, we would blame Russia. So this is Graham literally going, we're going to war with Russia, that we're going to cross the red line, biting his lip. What do you say to that, Nick Fuentes? I mean, that is a literal demon right there.
It is. It's satanic. How else could you watch that clip and think anything else? This is obviously some kind of blackmailed Manchurian candidate for the deep state. That's what he has always been. That's what John McCain was. That's what a lot of these people are. He's on television. And even the way he says it, I hope this never ends. Hope what never ends? The killing, the bloodshed, thousands of people dying every day. And if
remember
it never
said,
ends.
Remember he said it's the perfect war. Ukrainians die and we just make money.
It gives echoes of Hillary Clinton. It's kind of like the same maniacal cackling. You know, we came, we saw, he died. Ha ha, you know, what difference does it make? It's like the same vibes. Like these people worship death and destruction. They worship annihilation. And this goes on forever. Where do you think it's going to go? It doesn't, like you said, with the escalation ladder, it doesn't continue at a low boil forever, at a kind of a contained low boil conflict forever. Eventually, it does escalate. Ukraine unleashes attacks on Russian soil like they did in Operation Spiderweb, attacking strategic aircraft. Then what do you think Russia does? Well, they're going to start to attack the people providing the weapons for Ukraine. And then
and
what do
the
we
way,
do?
If
shoot
Putin
down?
Doesn't do that, all the analysts agree, the hardliners will remove him.
Right. We'll get something worse. So for all these fantasies about removing Putin from power or waiting for him to die or toppling his regime, what do you think you're going to get next? You're going to get somebody far worse and far more extreme. That's almost always the case anywhere, any conflict you're talking about. So, you know, we want this actually to stop immediately as opposed to go on forever.
And by the way, Gallup has gone and done internal polls in Russia, very accurate. This war had like 82% approval. It's over 90. The Russians want war now. They're pissed off.
And they love Putin. They approve of the war and they love Putin. They see this as an existential battle, which it is. It is an existential battle.
Imagine
and it is a battle
we were
for their
totally
sovereignty.
Encircled by a multinational force. Americans would be screaming for fighting.
Well, and that just that kind of analogy, it just shows you how ridiculous the whole thing is. Ukraine shares a border with Russia. We want to be doing military exercises on their border. We want to deprive them of their ports. What happens if Russia takes over Guantanamo Bay in Mexico? Would we allow that? Would we allow Russian long-range missiles in Mexico City? Obviously not. And yet this is literally, we're fighting for nuclear war for our right to do that. And I think that there's just no reason for it. I mean, we're clearly in an inflection point.
So how
there
do we
is
put
this
pressure
transition.
On Trump? I mean, is he just doing art of the deal stuff, or is he compromised?
I believe he is still doing art of the deal on some level. I think it's his own sick way, because you understand that Trump, he really just has these two modes, which is conciliatory and then the maximalist demands. So in his juvenile mind, in this kind of art of the deal mind, he's saying, okay, well, Putin, we rolled out the red carpet. We showed you Mr. Nice Guy. We talked about comprehensive cooperation on other matters like the Arctic or whatever. You don't want to play ball? Okay, fine. Now we'll shoot down jets. Now we'll put extraordinary pressure on you. Now we're going to get behind Europe and Ukraine. I guess we have to wait and see is there going to be a policy change? Is there going to be anything meaningful? Because he backed down from putting these extreme sanctions on India for buying Russian oil. We have to see if there's actually going to be any kind of meaningful change in policy, because it could be all talk. Trump is all talk. He always chickens out with China, with terrorists, with the National Guard in Chicago. I mean, you name it, everything that he threatens.
Exactly, but he's chickening out on the dumbass commie mayor and the Democrat governor. This is the biggest nuclear power, and the Russians are taking this seriously. You know, they're having the same discussions, but you don't play around with this. It's very,
I agree,
reckless, and I will say it. Those statements by Trump were incompetent.
And it is incompetence.
And it's my life and our planet's life. So Trump better reverse this right now, or I'm going to start going on the warpath. Jesus Christ. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Put bookends on this sleepwalking into thermonuclear hellfire, and then move into some other issues. Nick Fuentes, amazing interview today, very thought provoking. I appreciate being here. Find everything at Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble and more there for his nightly show. There's a normalcy bias in people that don't study history. You can learn through experience, instruction, or revelation. The best way is obviously revelation, but the most common, obviously, would be experience. People don't tend to listen to instruction as much as they listen to actually, you know, don't stick your finger in the light socket or whatever. But there's a normalcy bias that everything's fine. Everything's just going to go on the way it's gone. When you study 90% of people not being self-sufficient, being urban, if there's a collapse, it's World War Z. It's not like the Great Depression. It's 1,000 times worse. I mean, just all the Pentagon studies are dead on. Cannibalism within 5-6 days, total collapse in 15. You think army ants could eat the jungle, you know, in Brazil down to nothing? This will make army ants look like a walk in the park. You got that. You got the globalists trying to collapse stuff, believing they could manage a collapse for control, even more insane. That's being repudiated by Trump. That's good. In real action, not just rhetoric. Then you got them flirting with nuclear war. Everybody's like, oh, there'll never be a nuclear war, because there hasn't been a nuclear war. And but then all the real studies, and I've done the research, I know they're right. We are so close. So people better pray. And everybody being victims and bitching and husbands and wives fighting and all this stupid crap is going to evaporate instantly in this stuff kicks off. And it goes from bad to worse. You got Trump basically taking over the Federal Reserve. That's a huge victory. I mean, it's so paradoxical. But the nuclear war card, or just say full conventional war with Russia, which they believe they'll never go to nukes, they're going to win that. The Chi-Coms are involved. 100,000 extra North Koreans just came in. This is a new world war. We're in a new world war, and it's hard to cover any other issue when this is happening. And I don't just do issues for viewers, but there's a paradox. I cover nothing but important stuff, but sometimes I'll cover stuff that isn't as important, but it's because you what you want, just so I at the end can say something important about stopping nuclear war. You understand? So I don't know how we get people that don't understand how much danger we're in and how the globalists believe they can get rid of the population and emerge with all this AI after this cataclysm, this cleansing. That's really their plan. It's not just in Dr. Strangelove. There was a Pentagon plan with Curtis LeMay and L.L. Lemnitzer that was declassified later. Kubrick was warned about it, made a movie about it. They investigated him, how he knew. That's basically a documentary. So those crazies were the ones that trained the neocons today. And Israel's got a Sam Shinobson, too. So they don't just want mutually assured destruction to stop war. They want destruction. Deng Xiaoping said, you know, 30 years ago, oh, we're the only country in the world that wants a nuclear war. Our problem is too big a population. So China has said an official doctrine, we want a nuclear war, because we want to get rid of our population. We have, I mean, so this is very complex, and people that don't study it, I talk to them, and they're like vegetables, and I'm not on a power trip. Like, I know all this. You don't. I am upset that people don't understand this, Nick. So in closing on that point, it's some other stuff. On the First Amendment, people, well, why is that important? Well, if we don't have that, we can't stop these wars. At least when Bondi floated ADL banning on the First Amendment last week, they reversed in 5 hours because at least we can move the needle with Trump, which is something I see as positive. So we'll hit that in a moment. But I'm ranting. Just put a bookend on it.
Well, the sad thing is I don't think there's too much that anybody can do. I think that these are forces beyond our control, powerful forces. The administration knows there's no appetite for this. They know what they promised. They know they said no new wars and we'll end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours. They know it's unpopular. At this point, it is just these reciprocal escalations, reciprocal actions were sort of trapped. You know, when they talk about the inevitable conflict between China and America, they compare it to the Thucydides trap. That's the model they use. It's called the trap because it's sort of unavoidable. It's this, like, we're between a rock and a hard place here, and it's impossible to navigate. So I think we just have to, on some level, us ordinary people, regular people, have to pray for a peaceful solution, because I think it's a lot more likely it's going to end in war than that it's going to end peacefully. So I'm disappointed, but it goes to show, when it comes to the GOP, the Trump administration, you know, earlier you characterized me as blackpilled. I wouldn't say I'm blackpilled as much as I am so cynical of any offering from the major parties. I'm cynical and I am extremely skeptical of the offerings from the Democrats, equally the Republicans. They say things, they promise things, they never do them, never ever. And they said that they would end this war. That didn't pass the smell test. It's not coming to fruition. And that's why I say, on some level, the only vote that we can exercise is a rejection. You think that we have choice, Republican or Democrat, right or left. We get the same thing no matter what. We vote for the war party, the deep state, no matter what. I think the only vote is a non-participation, a rejection. That's kind of been what I've been on for the longest time. In retrospect, we almost did everything right. Trump ran in 16 as the anti-war candidate, non-intervention. You had him on your show. I volunteered for his campaign. We believed in it. And on the other side of a decade since that has happened, we've only gotten more entrenched, more regime change, more war. The Middle East is blown up. We're going back in. We're at war with Russia. It just goes to show, even what is presented as a radical outsider and someone who's truly against the status quo gets rapidly assimilated and accepts the status quo and carries it on even further. That's why I say it's almost a repudiation of the system. I'm always calling for a kind of a more radical break from the past, because everything short of that radical break seems to always just tend towards the same direction, which is nuclear war. So it's terrifying. And people need to realize this is reality. I like what you said, that it's the most important thing in the world and maybe people are less interested. I don't think people realize the normalcy bias is so real too. People have never seen nuclear war in their lifetimes. People have only seen the good times. Even the wars that we're in, they're not total wars. They're not full wartime mobilization. They think it's always going to be that way on some level. They expect it will always be like that. There's no reason to believe that's the case when you really look at the facts. So this is a real threat. We are really in danger here. We are in peril. And we always have the wars
during a big turning, and this is a mega turning. So you're smart, you're entertaining, you're funny, but people really listen to you because you're prescient. You've made a lot of predictions that have come true, basically all of them. I have too. And I don't say that on a power trip, but the reason the bad guys want us off the air, they've said this, is because we can change narratives. I want to get the public to understand this. They can realize their power and agency to change this together, because I legitimately, and all the war games show it, it's not just me, it's the top war gaming private companies and government, admit this, but this is the psychology of people like Lindsey Graham and others. They're the worst example of it, you know, the mini-me of John McCain. They all get together with their own normalcy bias, and they're on a power trip with all these weapons and stuff, and they've talked about they've got bunkers and they'll reemerge and all the rest of it. It's the same as globalists wanting to crash the economy for control of the population. Now they realize, oh, we'll never get away with it. Let's not do it now. It's a bunch of wimps. Because the real soldiers I know, the really smart people, they're all trying to stop this. High level, low level, mid level. But it literally is the people like Lindsey Graham that are demonically possessed that get off on flirting with this, and they need to be restrained. Russia didn't start this. Russia's not perfect. And so I just don't know how to explain to people that think, well, I don't want a nuclear war, so there isn't going to be one. Well, you're not Lindsey Graham. God knows what's on his hard drive. I mean, these are really sick people. And when you're that sick, the final degeneracy is total war.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And, you know, what we want out of this is just a negotiated settlement. There is a, like you said, it is a great turning, a mega turning. The world is going through a convulsion, and rightfully so. When Putin talks about the war, he talks about root causes. That's always the phrase that crops up. That's the rhetoric they're using. And what does he mean when he says root causes of the conflict? It means there's a real disagreement here between Russia and the United States. It's being fought out and battled
NATO
over.
NATO has publicly been starting it. Root causes, you started it, bitch. And what is this thing about attacking Russia, Napoleon, Hitler, all of them? Why do they do it?
It might be there's something perennial there, you know, I tend not to go in that direction, the eschatology stuff. But when you think about the end times prophecy and you think about these major world powers that are going to come together for a war, who knows? Maybe there is something animating that, because, you know, it's been variously described in different prophecies that Napoleon and Hitler are two antichrists. It's sort of interesting. They both made that move, and they say there might be a third antichrist who'll invade Russia again. Of course, Russia's doing this in many ways. Their geopolitical thinking, their geostrategic thinking, it proceeds from those invasions. Why can NATO not control Ukraine? Because that is the superhighway on which Western Europe has invaded Russia.
And we had 25% of Russians killed in World War II. I mean, imagine that race memory.
Right. Well, and that's imminent for them. That was in the last century that 10 million people perished in that war. We can't even fathom something like that. The last time we had a loss of that magnitude was the Civil War. And in terms of absolute numbers, it didn't even approach what happened in Russia in World War II. So this is what informs their thinking.
Well, by the way, the Nazis wrote letters and intelligence reports reclassified. They'd fought a bunch of people. Once they started fighting the Russians, and the Germans were tough, they were like, these people are scary. So
they're brutal. They're absolutely brutal, and they're fighters. And the Russian spirit is one of sacrifice. We don't even understand the animal we're dealing with here. When you look at Dostoevsky, when you look at the Russian writers, the spirit of the Russian nation, it's literally suffering. Like that's what communism was. It is self-sacrificial suffering. And so the idea that the United States, with all of the decadence that we have, that we're going to come in and fight for their borderland, their hinterland.
When they fought the Muslims and the Huns for 1,000 years.
If they fought them 20 years ago, the Chechens, and the brutality is just unbelievable over there. They're brutal people. And on some level, there's got to be a requiem for what Trump promised 10 years ago. Don't you miss the days when Trump said, what if Russia could be our friend? That we were talking about a comprehensive cooperation with Russia on various matters. There's another timeline where maybe that was fleshed out, but it just never happened. Now we're staring down the barrel of the gun. And why? Just let them have Ukraine. And I'm not pro-Russia, I'm pro-America. But it's clear Russia is re-emerging. After the fall of the Soviet Union.
They only want a buffer zone. So in closing, we're almost out of time. You got to come back sooner. I ask you on all the time. Plus, I get bullied and threatened. You better not have him back on. Great discussions. We don't have the First Amendment. We have nothing. So on the heels of Bondi endorsing the ADL repeal of the First Amendment last week and us slapping it down, we have Jim Jordan yesterday. Due to our oversight efforts, Google commits to offer all creators previously kicked off YouTube to the political speech violations to return to their platform. But that's not all. We have the Alphabet letter, that's the parent company, Eric Schmidt, saying, yeah, we're going to stop. So I've been a little busy, but I told you during a break, you should go try to relaunch your channel. And I'm doing it today. I'm going to get in there with my driver's license, all of it. And I'm going to try to relaunch an Alex Jones channel today. And the crew's like, well, let's worry about the algorithm. We're not going to get on there. I predict they're going to block it, which is fine. Then I'll get it to Jim Jordan, who I can call on the phone, leave it right there. This is just Department investigation, and we're going to force their hand on this. But this does show some of the good stuff coming out of Trump, other than trying to start a nuclear war. What do you make of that?
Well, I'm skeptical of it like you are, because then they came out, actually, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, and YouTube said it's a pilot program. I don't know if you, this is brand new.
No, I think that. It just came we're out this. We're going to let them all back, but it's a pilot program.
Yes, so I'm deeply skeptical, and you know, that could mean one of two things. It might mean that they will do more later. That's what a pilot program is. They'll see how it goes. Maybe they'll bring on more people. Or it could mean that it's like a token concession, and it's not actually what they're saying this.
You know, big creators, big talk show hosts, I'll stop there. They call them up and say, oh, we hear Evan Alex on. The producers all talk to them, they're all tattletales. Better not do that. We're going to demonetize you. So that's what goes on. But it's not like, oh, I went back on YouTube. But clearly, will you, because I'm not trying to hog the space here. It's a smart, not a stunt, it's a show. And let's commit, you and I both today. Let's go try to log on. Let's try to relaunch the Nick J. Fuentes show, America First. Let's try to relaunch Alex Jones Live. Let's do it when we get off here in 10 minutes.
Let's do it. Absolutely. I'm game. Yeah, let's stress test it.
Yeah, because it's horse crap. I totally agree with you.
I don't know. Here's what I will say about YouTube. I am skeptical because you and I, we've been through a lot of the same nonsense that they always do like this. But at least from my perspective, there were times when I, years ago, I would go on somebody's channel and they would get banned. That has not happened, as far as I'm aware, at least in 6 or 7 months.
In the last year, almost a year, I'm able to go on shows. They don't get banned or demonetized. Yeah. And suddenly my clips are everywhere too.
Yeah, same here. So there definitely is a liberalization. They're definitely opening it up. The question is just how far are they going to take it? I'm skeptical that you and me are going to be allowed right back on.
Well, don't you think, because the Holy Spirit, at the end of the day, gut level is your own knowledge, your instincts, your life experience, but also the Holy Spirit. I just think Elon Musk is good. He got mad at Trump and left, and he put it all on the line. He's been majorly attacked. I mean, on X, we've done nothing but support. I don't think I know. Elon doing what he did opened up all of this.
Mm. I agree with you. He probably did more good on net than maybe almost anybody else, up to and including Trump on some level.
Yeah, because Trump's treatment, I know the inside baseball, a bunch of jealous people ran Elon out and totally, it was a bad move.
I believe that. Elon is not a politician. He's a businessman. He's a technologist. And you know how politics are. It's all these jealous, petty people trying to cut each other and kill each other to get a position.
He's OCD obsessed with results. He said it. He said, the best base for my operations is America. I want to save it. He's not trying to steal your Social Security check, like they said. It's the opposite. He's trying to stabilize it so he has a place to have wealth. It's purely selfish in a good way. It's like good greed.
Well, yeah, and insofar as he's in favor of free speech, I think that is the best thing that can be done, because that's what's going to save the country, is people like us being able to express ourselves and prevent the kind of really dark stuff that we saw a few years ago when censorship was out of control. So I agree. I mean, it cannot be overstated how big of a deal it is that he opened up the floodgates for all this when he bought Twitter. I never thought I'd see the day when Gavin McInnes, who was on your show the other day, you, me, we'd all be right back. And he even said about you, Alex can't come back. And then he brought you back. And then he brought me back. And then, you know, Gavin came back the other day. It's almost miraculous, because up until that point, it was not just the censorship. It was Kafkaesque. It was like, you know, you try to file an appeal.
And then he came on the show for like, we did a couple of interviews, but I said, you understand I wasn't banned for Sandy Hook. And he's like, really? And I said, he went to the logs. He goes, oh my God, you never even talked about it. You were banned for saying when Antifa comes to your house, defend yourself. And he went, whoa, I was lied to. And I said, yeah, PR firm. I told the PR firm, he was like, oh, it was a PR firm attacking him. And then it was like light bulb.
Well, that's a testament then to his integrity. Then if he was under one impression, found out the information and made the correction, then even better.
Oh, you read the headlines. I'm being mean to dead kids. I pee on graves. None of it's true. So let me show you these clips in closing. Kamala says, Trump's a communist dictator. How pathetic. And then we got Hillary saying white men are the problem. This is their total divide and conquer. This is all they've got left. Where does the Democratic Party go now with record low fundraising, record low ratings? What do they do? Here it is.
A tyrant We used to compare the strength of our democracy to communist dictators. That's what we're dealing with right now in Donald Trump. And these titans of industry are not speaking up.
And I am proud of the fact that we have always been a work in progress. You know, we haven't gotten to the more perfect union, and we fought a civil war over part of it. Mm-hmm. And people have been protesting, you know, for hundreds of years that, you know, things were not as they should be, given our ideals and how we should be moving toward them. So I think that's what makes us so special as a country. And the idea that you could turn the clock back and try to recreate a world that never was dominated by, you know, let's say it, white men of a certain persuasion, a certain religion, a certain point of view, a certain ideology.
Evil Christians.
It's just doing such damage to what we should be aiming for. And we were on the path toward that. I mean, imperfectly, lots of, you know, bumps along the way. But I agree with you. We were on the right trajectory.
So literal demonization of whites, Christians, and Catholics. These are Satanists. Nick, how do you respond to that scumbaggery?
That is so shocking to me. It's just so out of touch. I thought we were beyond that rhetoric. I thought even the Democrats were beyond that on some level, even just strategically.
But that's why you're good. No one can look at you with rhetoric half as strong as theirs. We need to stop being cucked. That's why what you're doing is good. This is an anti-white, anti-Christian piece of filth, and trying to organize non-whites to hate us. It's bullshit.
That's exactly. How else could you interpret it? She says, all of history's run by white Christian men. That's your time is over. You're finished. Well, who's going to run our country then? Immigrants? Who's going to run our country? Foreigners? And how's that going to happen?
What is it about? I mean, listen, I'm proud of everybody. Everybody has skills. God made us all. But why do people want to be in Western cultures? Why the architecture? Why the science? I mean, what is it about white people? And why does the ADL and those groups want to remove that genius so they can rule a bunch of idiots?
This is part of their they just hate us. I mean, on some level, they just hate us. When people say things like that, well, it's time for white men to step aside. I mean, there is nothing behind that other than pure racism. That's racial hatred for white men.
Pure
and that's
envy,
always what it's
pure
been.
Envy. So what is it they hate?
With her, she's a woman. So who knows what's behind that? She's a white woman herself. It's
an
very
ugly,
curious.
Disgusting daughter of a mob boss.
Yeah, exactly. She looks terrible in that clip. With her, I don't know what it is. She's a complicated person. But with a lot of these people, it is a malicious hatred because we are creators. We generate, we create. When you look at Western civilization, when you look at Europe, it's synonymous with wealth, progress, industry, productivity, technology, stuff that they don't have, stuff that arguably maybe they never could have, things that they don't have in their countries. And they come here.
They're scared
we have
of innovation.
All this stuff.
They're scared of innovation.
I would say they're more just jealous of the wealth. I don't think they're not innovators themselves. I don't think they think in those terms. I think it's literally purely they look at the squalor they live in.
Innovators. I admire innovators, whoever they are. Why are they threatened by beauty?
Because they can't control it. They don't have it. They can't control it. They don't have it in their countries. And so it's sort of like if we can't have it, then no one can. You know, they want to be the masters of it. If they can't have it, then they want to bring it all down. I think on some level that's where this. Yes, it's that anti-colonial stuff. It all comes from there.
But it's like
there.
You said, why are they still on this point destroying them? Because it's who they are. They can't stop.
Well, that's a perfect way to bring it home because it's true. I mean, this is hurting them. You'd think after 2024, they'd say, we got to back off this anti-white stuff because look at what it is catalyzing on the other side. And they're losing white people. For her to come across and say, well, let's just say it's white men. They literally cannot contain themselves. Like they can't suppress their hatred. So that's why it's surprising.
Well, she said of a certain persuasion. She's talking about Christians.
Yeah, of a certain religion, she says, persuasion, maybe she meant heterosexual, you know, because we're supposed to have a big gay, brown, you know, Hindu, Stani, whatever kind of place. So it's just pure malice and seething resentment. You'd think they'd have figured it out. Last year, they had Tim Walz with the camo hat, if you remember that whole operation. And they recognized, we know, we got to appeal to the white men. I guess they forgot that. And now they want to go back to race communism. Meanwhile, he
tries to put shotgun shells in the butt of the gun. Nick Fuentes, Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble, everywhere else. I'd love to come on your show, brother. We have a lot of guests, but we really appreciate you. Powerful. I think it's the best interview yet. Thank you so much for the time. And stay alive, buddy, because they're coming for you. Coming for me.
You too, man. You too, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. What a great transmission. We're going to cut this up, put it everywhere. It belongs to you. Spread it everywhere. The great Harrison Smith takes over right now, 3 to 6 p.m. with the War Room. Thank you all for your support. Remember, I can't fight without you. Go to thealexshowstore.com, the very best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. It is all there at thealexshowstore.com. Creatine, now in today. For VIP members only, I want to thank Nick Fuentes for joining us today. Harrison Smith takes over right now with all the insane news. But I got to tell you, Trump's saying, oh, Ukraine could take his land back and maybe even invade Russia. That is Barbarossa 2.0. That is bad, and that is not good. Forget art of the deal. That is bad. That's not 3D chess. That's retarded chess.